sports presentation. Classic Hits 98.9 Sports presents high school football.
And so in at quarterback is going to be Preble. He's in the shotgun. Back on that left side, making the catch there is going to be Dibbert. Dibbert breaks one tackle, and he's going to take it the distance. 37 yards on the play. Dibbert, it looked like, was going to have a nice 15, 16-yard gain. Made a great juke out there. Got two Bulldogs out of position, and he takes it in for the score.
Tonight, the regular season comes to a close in Amherst as the Broncos battle the Lawrence Nelson Raiders. High school football on KKPR is brought to you by the Classic Hits Sports Club.
Second and 10 from the 20. Preble is going to roll to his left, step up. Now he's going to run, breaks one tackle, breaks another, tries to get to the outside, does, has the corner, and he's in for the touchdown. He scrambles in from 20 yards away through the traffic. Just like that, a little bit of momentum here for Amherst.
Both teams are 5-2 on the season, and both teams have lost to state raid Kennesaw and Shelton. A win tonight could mean a home game in the first round of the playoffs. A loss sends them on the road as an underdog next week. It's the Raiders and Broncos coming up next. But first is the New Tech Seed pregame show. We'll take you live to Amherst with Sports Director Doug Duda and Larry Baker right after this word from New Tech Seed.
New Tech is known as the undisputed yield leader as a result of their excellent performance in university and first trials and in your fields. While winning isn't everything at the high school level, it sure makes things a lot more interesting. To put New Tech's winning genetics to work for you, contact Terry or Jason Stark at 308-750-6060 or visit newtech at yieldleader.com.
New Tech Seed, the undisputed Midwest yield leader.
And good evening, everyone, from Amherst. It is time for the final high school football game of the regular season between the Amherst Broncos and the Lawrence Nelson Raiders. Doug Duda and Larry Baker with you here on the New Tech Seed pregame show. And you do these games, and you've been in a certain business long enough, no matter what that business is, at some point you're going to see something you've never seen before, and tonight we may actually see that here as the sun sets. It'll be behind the horizon here at Amherst by kickoff in about 30 minutes, and a wind that is unlike any that we have seen or have had to see football teams play in before, and this game was of importance tonight between the Raiders and the Broncos. It's not the AFC West. It is the D267 district here as they play in what was an incredible district with Kennesaw, Shelton, and Axtell, and Wilcox, Hildreth, these teams have played. And now they play each other here tonight. It's been quite the district, and the playoff implications on the line. Now, Lawrence Nelson looks like they're in better shape than Amherst. Amherst is still in that bottom 10 of D2 right here, and they should get in, but you never want to leave anything to chance. And I guess the bottom line is, Larry Baker, for both of these teams, if they lose tonight, they're going to draw one of the top seeds. They're going to be somewhere between 13 and 16. They'll go on the road against a team that's supposed to be in the quarterfinals. If you win this game, there's a chance you move up in that 8, 9, 10 area where you can be competitive and maybe even an outside chance of having a home game if you get that 8 seed.
Yeah, and I think, you know, on a deal like this, you know, you're focusing on trying to win your game and things like that, but you've worked the math out. You know, for Amherst tonight, it's as simple as win your game, have Brady lose, and that way you don't have to go all the way to Layton and play Layton, and that's kind of what it would look like for Amherst. And if you don't know where Layton is, it's just north
right,
of
next
city.
To Dalton. Right next to Dalton, brother.
That's right. Gurley and Dalton together. So that's you are exactly right. And the worst part about it is when you have a situation like that, both teams need a big win tonight, and then you have to play in these conditions. This has been a tough district, Doug. When you look at it, both these teams are 5-2. Kennesaw and Shelton have taken their bite out of a lot of people here this year, and we see that as these two teams play tonight.
Well, it doesn't take a genius. If you are a fan of either one of these teams, you know that there hasn't been really a mediocre team. I would say that Axtell is probably the team that has even been competitive. I mean, these teams, win or lose, have not had a competitive football game in the fourth quarter outside of the Axtell game, which both teams did defeat just last week, as a matter of fact, for Amherst. They were both blown out by Shelton and Kennesaw, and they've really rolled over the rest of their competition. So neither team has beaten a very quality team, a non-Division III football team, as far as points, a team that has won more than a couple of football games. One of them will do that here tonight.
Right, and when you talk about that, I mean, you've got to go all the way back to, I believe it's week one, for the two-point win over Loomis for Amherst, and then you look at, you know, they were down by, what was it, 15 or 19 to Eustace Farnham, and they come back there. So Amherst has shown to be able to do some of those things. But you're right. A lot of these games haven't been real nail biters, and this one's going to be. These two teams actually, when you look at them, outside of Lawrence Nelson being fairly small, they match up exactly right. They've each got one big giant pounder that's going to play fullback, middle linebacker type. But outside of that, they've got kind of some squeaky fast guys, but they just look very much alike. And both come in with identical 5-2 records. They've lost to the same people. So this will be a competitive game.
With our producer-engineer Stacey Johns and Larry Baker, I'm Doug Duda with you here on the New Tank C pregame show. We're glad you're along with us. You can also hear all of our games that are on the radio tonight on the World Wide Web at PlatteRiverPreps.com. All one word, PlatteRiverPreps.com. Kearney Catholic is at Gothenburg, ESPN 1460. Ravenna is at Donovan Trumbull, 94.5 FM. Hastings St. Cecilia is at Thayer Central on 1230 KHAS. So those four games on the radio also on PlatteRiverPreps.com. We've also got our high school Valentino scoreboard. You can contribute tonight as well. It's you, the fan, that helps us, and by helping us, we help you, the fan. All we need is your text with the score update. You want to do it every quarter? You want to do it after every score? It doesn't matter. Simply, like example, text Amherst 6, Lawrence Nelson 6, end of the first, and text that to 308-646-0506. Whatever football game you're at, got a feeling there's going to be quite a few, especially since it's mainly C and D football tonight, quite a few people are going to try and watch the games tonight from their vehicles. And so maybe you'll be listening on the radio and you'll have a chance to text those scores to us at 646-0506. We will hear from head coach Brian Blevins, followed by head coach Ron Evans, Lawrence Nelson, and Amherst, coming up on the New Tech C pregame show right after this timeout.
You see it every weekend. Teams at every level emphasizing the look of their uniform. Look sharp, play sharp. It's what they're affirming. And Pro Team Design puts any sports apparel style, screen print, or embroidery at your fingertips. In person or online, the latest designs from the widest selection of brands. Look sharp, play sharp with Pro Team Design. 2716 Old Fair Road, Grand Island. Or shop and order online at ProTeamDesign.com.
Tucker's Lounge and Restaurant supports the Lawrence Nelson students and athletes. Work hard in the classroom and on the athletic fields. Tucker's Lounge and Restaurant serves a full food menu Wednesday through Saturday, including steak, fish, chicken, pork, and salad bar. Lunch is served too. Tucker's Lounge and Restaurant is open Tuesday through Saturday from 11 a.m. until 1. Before or after the game, stop in and see Linda and Floyd at Tucker's Lounge and Restaurant on Main Street in Nelson. Good luck, Raiders, from Tucker's Lounge and Restaurant.
Welcome back to the New Tech Seed pregame show here in Amherst. It is Thursday night football to wrap up the regular season, and Lawrence Nelson taking on Amherst, and Brian Blevins, the head coach, joining us here of the Raiders on the New Tech Seed pregame show. Brian, I'm curious, when you picked up the district assignments, were you a little surprised at the teams that you were locked in with this year?
Well, you know, it's the first time that I think we kind of went west. You know, typically we're kind of east or we're pretty centrally located for district-wise. But, you know, this year we went west and we picked up some new teams, going to see some new faces, and, you know, it's been a good season.
Then you get your schedule that comes out, and obviously you and Amherst are so alike in so many different ways coming into this season that it's almost scary. But it wasn't like you had to start with Giltner and three teams that were ranked in the top four in the state. It gives a young team a chance to get maybe their feet under them. How pleased were you with the way your team got the season started?
Well, you know, we played well early. You know, the one nice thing about starting, you know, all young kids 1 year is that they do grow up. So while we brought a pretty young team into the season, we did have some, you know, quite a bit of experience. You know, not a lot of success, but we did have the experience, and the kids were able to build on that, you know, and kids just grow up, kids develop, you know, and kids got better, and we did have a good start to the season. Kids played well, and, you know, I was pretty satisfied.
Do you have a handle, and I know this may be a crazy question 7 weeks in, do you have a handle on how good your football team is?
Well, you know, I think we're always looking to get better, but, you know, I don't even think our team really realizes how good they could be, you know. As grown up and as mature as we've gotten, we're still young, and we make a lot of mental errors. You know, we still play like juniors and sophomores and freshmen at times. And I think if the kids ever really realize how good they can be and what their potential is, they could really be dangerous.
chat with the head football coach at Lawrence Nelson, Brian Blevins, here on the New Tech Seed pregame show as they get ready to take on Amherst in tonight's football game. Your kids had to play both Kennesaw and Shelton on the road. You're 3-0, and then you go into Kennesaw, and the score gets away, and it did against Amherst as well. How do you feel they bounced back since that time?
Really well. You know, we really have a good group of kids. They're really resilient. You know, we did take some licks in that game, but the thing is we focused on getting better, learning from the mistakes, you know, going forward, and that's really what they did. You know, there's a lot of things that we realized that we could clean up. We really got exploited in a lot of areas, but that, you know, it helped us throughout the season. We've got a lot better from it, and, you know, that's all you can do is just keep improving.
Tell us a little bit about your football team. Obviously, no really common opponents outside of the district. A lot of the Amherst fans, including me, I haven't had a chance to see you guys play in a while. What's your style offensively, defensively? What are you hoping to accomplish?
Well, you know, we try to be physical. That's our main objective. You know, we want to try to outwork the team that we're playing, be more physical. You know, we're not a real large group of kids, not real big. But we just try to hit hard, try to work hard. We try to control the line of scrimmage and run the football. And, you know, we primarily stick to our MO, and that's, you know, just running the football inside the ends. We'll try to sweep you. Nothing real fancy. I'd say we're a pretty blue collar team all around.
Your thoughts on Amherst and the concerns that they put out there for you?
Well, they're a good team. You know, they're young like us, but they've had a lot of success. You know, they're very, very well coached. I got a lot of respect for their head coach, and, you know, they've had a great season. They like you said, they're really familiar to us. You know, blue collar, they work hard, they run the football. You know, they've taken a really good game plan in every game that I've scouted, and I expect they're going to have a really good game plan against us. And, you know, it's going to be a hard-fought battle with a lot of playoff implications on the line, and, you know, it's almost like we're hitting the first round of playoffs right now tonight.
It looks like Amherst may balance the offense a little bit more than you guys do. Is that a concern at all with their passing game or what they do with it?
Well, yeah, we've seen some passing teams over the course of the year, you know, so that's not a huge concern for us. You know, obviously we got to stop what they do, and they got to stop what we do, and that's kind of the team that does a better job of that is really probably going to be the one that's going to come out on top tonight.
We're talking with the head football coach at Lawrence Nelson, Brian Blevins, here for another minute or so on the New Tech Seed pregame show. Not a lot of games have been close for either one of your team, either your team or Amherst, either one way or the other. You're winning big or you're getting beat big. This should be maybe the most competitive game of the year. Take me into where you guys are at deep in the third quarter and into the fourth quarter, because I'm guessing most of your starters haven't had to play the whole game on either types of those games.
Yeah, you know, that's always a concern when you haven't had very many close games, just the kids' conditioning levels, you know, deep into the third and fourth quarter. But, you know, that's one of our focal points in every practice is conditioning. We always want to make sure that we're, you know, the most conditioned team on the field. We feel pretty confident about that. You know, it is going to be a test of attrition tonight. I assume they're going to, you know, they're going to give us a great battle. And it's just going to be a tough game all around. But, you know, we feel confident. We feel confident in our preparation. We feel confident in our game plan. And, you know, now it's just left to put it on the field and see how things play out.
And, Brian, close games can always come down to special teams. What about your special teams?
Well, you know, we've had some errors on special teams over the year. You know, we gave up a kick return for a touchdown last week against Wilcox Hildreth. So it's always an area of concern, but it's just something that we work on. You just try to hope that you continue to improve and continue to get better in that area of the game. And, you know, we cleaned up some things that we saw on film last week, and, you know, we just hope that we don't make the same mistakes tonight.
And, Brian, I'll let you out of here with this. You can help the radio guys out a little bit. What are you going to be looking for in the first quarter of this football game? What should we be looking at to know if things are going the way you want them to go?
Well, I'd say if we're able to control the line of scrimmage, you know, for us being outsized in every game we've played so far this year, and, you know, we'll be outsized again tonight, the biggest area of concern for us going into a game is the line of scrimmage, you know. And so if we're able to move the ball on the ground and we're able to control their run game, you know, early on in the game, then, you know, then things should really be looking up for us.
Well, Coach, we look forward to what should be a competitive game, getting the team's playoff ready in this final game of the regular season. Best of luck to the Raiders.
Yep, thanks for having me.
That's Brian Blevins, head coach at Lawrence Nelson. We'll be back and talk with Ron Evans, the head football coach at Amherst, right after this on the New Tech Seed pregame show.
Honey, hurry. We need to finish loading up the trash. The dump closes in 30 minutes.
Don't let trash take up time in your busy schedule. Let Ravenna Sanitation take care of all your trash needs. At Ravenna Sanitation, they take trash seriously. They're there to be your trash collection connection. If you need trash removal from your home, business, or farm, Ravenna Sanitation is the quality, dependable trash hauling service that you've been looking for. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County.
Banks can be very similar in the services they offer, but it's the local decisions, local ownership, and friendly professional staff that makes the difference. That's what you can expect from the State Bank of Riverdale. We're proud of the relationships we've developed over the past 100 years and look forward to expanding this service to Kearney. Follow us on the web at riverdalebank.com. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
State Bank of Riverdale, banking hand in hand.
Back on the New Tech Seed pregame show, getting ready for the final game of the regular season. Amherst and Lawrence Nelson, both teams playoff bound, but I think there's still, amazingly, a lot of questions out there for a pair of teams that are 5-2, and Coach Ron Evans joins us here on Classic Hits 98.9. Coach, we were joking before we went on, these teams are almost identical, I mean, from positions that kids play, lack of seniors, records, competition. So is practice a little easier this week because you're practicing against yourself?
Well, kind of. Yeah, it's like I said, they're kind of a mirror image of us, and their season was a mirror image pretty much the same way. Our schedules weren't real tough aside from, Shelton and Kennesaw, and both teams managed to win all the games except for those two and do very well. So, yeah, it's kind of nice. We don't have to worry about great big guys because they're not real big. We just got to worry about their quickness and their speed and they're pretty tough kids too. So they've really come a long way. They've done a lot of getting better, I call it, as the season went along, and I think we have too. So it should be a pretty good game.
Tell me how the kids bounce back, because Axtell actually kind of took you down to the wire. If people just looked at the score, they wouldn't realize that. But when you had to play Shelton and Kennesaw back-to-back weeks, it's pretty tough to come back no matter who the opponent is. So how did the kids bounce back last week?
Well, we kind of lost our mojo there for a couple games and kind of got it handed to us. So we had to kind of, suck it up and get back to doing things that we do, and that's play hard and stay after people the whole game. And that's kind of what happened. We basically kind of grounded out the first quarter and second quarter and stayed, it was a pretty tight game, and then we just kept after them in the third and fourth and eventually kind of broke it open. That's kind of been our way of doing things. We fell behind early a couple, three games before this and came back and won, so we must be in pretty good shape or something.
How do you feel, and we're talking with Ron Evans, head football coach at Amherst, how do you feel your freshmen are coming along and are learning? Because, as you said, they should be playing JV football and not getting this much playing time on Thursday and Friday nights.
Right. Well, they're all getting better every game. They have their regressive moments. They've done that in the last two or three games where they've kind of forgot their responsibilities and got a little bit. Oh, should I say they had their eyes in the backfield a little bit too much in some games, and it kind of hasn't stopped yet. So we've been working on them to make sure they take care of their responsibilities before they worry about everybody else. But they've done very well.
Eight-man game always has an emphasis on the special teams. And when you get that many freshmen, are they thrown into that mix as well? How do you like the way special teams kickoff coverage and kickoff returns have been going?
We've done pretty well. We've got, our gunners on our punt are both freshmen. And our punter is a freshman, and like I said, we got an up back that's a freshman, so they've been integrated in the special teams just like they were a junior or senior. We haven't even thought, to be honest with you, I haven't even thought about it, that we've got that many young kids on special teams too. But they're hanging in there and doing pretty good.
Ron Evans with us here on the New Tech Seed pregame show, getting ready to take on Lawrence Nelson. We say that the teams mirror each other. Tell us what you're seeing from Lawrence Nelson.
Well, they like to basically run the ball just like we do. They will pass when necessary. They'll try to set you up with a pass with the run. They don't they don't like to throw the ball, I don't think, too much. They'd rather just run it. They've got a little spread formation where they like to run the ball out of that too. Pass when necessary, like try to catch you off guard. And they like to run reverses, so we're going to have to be aware of that. They like to run a lot of counters and reverses to kind of keep you honest. So we'll have to be ready for that.
have to bring it up, even though these kids were running around grade school, and heck, these ninth graders, they were just beginning to think about getting to school the first time. One of the, I guess, games in Amherst lore was against Lawrence Nelson. Lawrence Nelson won the whole state championship in 2001, and it started with a controversial win over Amherst in the opening round. But now these kids, and probably you might be the only one on either staff that's still around. Are there some alum that's bringing that up to you this week?
Well, I haven't heard too much about it. I'm sure if the boys that played in the game were all of them are still around, they'd be bringing it up, and I'm sure they remember. Like I said, it was it's been quite a while ago, and that, those were the 11-man days. And now I got to thinking that's a pretty tough draw first round. And we were pretty good, and they were pretty good. It kind of was the semifinal, so to speak, maybe, or finals in the first round, which is happens once in a while.
Tell me a little bit about how important this game is if you guys want to play at least a couple more games in the postseason, because as you said, everybody you guys have beaten is like 2-5, 1-6, 0-7, and then the two teams both of you lost to were Shelton and Kennesaw.
Right. In the West, if you lose, well, both of us are going to be in the same boat. If we lose, we're going to be a quite the lower seed and going to have to play somebody, that's pretty good on either side, whether they go east or go west. We'll get matched up with them, some pretty tough hombres in those higher seeds. If we win, it should help our seed quite a bit, because we can get 45 points and maybe jump up into the 40s, maybe 41, depending on how Brady does. We're kind of relying on Brady to have a good week too. So, that could jump our seed up into a, instead of being a 13 or a 14 or a 12, we might get up in the, the 10s and the 9s and somewhere in there, which might make our game first round a little easier. You never know.
Ron, do you look at this last question? I'll ask you here because I don't know how much we will talk before the first playoff game. Do you look at this at a big picture as you use this season to prepare these freshmen and sophomore for what in, I mean, let's face it, all the Amherst people keep telling me in 2 or 3 years we are going to be amazing. We're going to be, and people, and not just Amherst people, we're going to be really good. And obviously if all these freshmen are going to be four-year starters and play significant minutes, do you look at the big picture or is it all about this game and this season?
Yeah, right now we're just worrying about, sending our senior outright, our couple seniors we got outright, and getting those juniors really ready for next year. I'm not looking that far ahead. I may not even make it that far. Who knows how this goes. But, no, we're trying to just focus on right now. I told the kids we're going to just pretend this is our first playoff game so we can start getting ready for the atmosphere, because it should be a pretty good atmosphere. And it kind of will set us up. If we do well, it'll set us up for the next game next Thursday, the first playoff game, and then help us on down the line. So, no, I'm trying to keep everything just in the moment and, make this season as good as we can.
Well, let's see how fun we can have this football game tonight. Ron, always appreciate the time and the atmosphere at Amherst. We'll talk to you afterwards.
Okay, thanks, Doug.
That's the head football coach of the Amherst Broncos, Ron Evans. We'll be back to take a look at the starting lineups after this timeout on the New Tech Seed pregame show.
The most recommended by far. Houston's Body Shop, that's who we are. Put your car or truck back to factory specs. Free estimates from certified techs. When you need a tow, we're the ones to know. The most recommended Houston's Body Shop, that's who we are.
America's farmers feed the world. That's why your CHS Service Center provides producers like these with market access and insights for their success.
Well, they stay on top of the market. They really look out for us.
They watch world activity so we can make informed decisions.
We get daily emails and text alerts from our co-op. They're able to take our grain when we need to move it.
Get connected to a CHS Service Center near you. Resources for enriching lives, CHS.
I asked my husband if I can join his fantasy league this year. He just laughed. Little did he know, I've been going to Cunningham's Journal for lunch every week. The perfect place for sports fans like myself to keep up with my favorite teams, and not to mention the food is so good. Anyway, a fantasy spot opened up, and guess who's laughing now? And winning. If you're an ultimate sports fan, enjoy a good lunch, a drink with friends, and live entertainment. The place to be is Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
Can't seem to find the right school car, truck, or SUV you've been looking for? See the professionals at Killian Motors. They may not have it on the lot, but they can find it for you. Trust Killian's to keep your current car running longer by bringing it in for routine service. Oil changes every 3 months or 3,000 miles, and regular maintenance can keep your car running better and longer. You're heading in the right direction for service, savings, and selection. Killian Motors, where people come back time after time since 1979, 8th and Central, Kearney.
And good evening once again, everyone. Welcome back to the New Tech Seat Game Show here on Classic Hits, where it's time to take a look at our injury report brought to you by the fine folks that are throughout the Central Nebraska, and that is Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, Kearney, two locations, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back into the game of life. And Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center says, come on in and see him if you need to tomorrow morning. John Eberle has been out for the Amherst Broncos, the 6-foot senior. Only three seniors on this entire football team, and only one starts. While on the other side for Lawrence Nelson, they don't even have a senior that starts on this football team on either side. Levi Schroer is out for them. So that's what you've got here tonight as far as your injury report. Brought to you by Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, two locations in Kearney with excellence in rehabilitation. The Ortho Clinic is located in the Kearney Clinic, and the Rehab Clinic is located in the ENT building. Starting lineups are coming up here on Classic Hits 98.9 as we're about ready to get tonight's football matchup underway between Amherst and Lawrence Nelson. Starting lineups brought to you by Five Points Bank, the Letter Bank in Kearney. For Lawrence Nelson, the center is number 45, 225-pound sophomore Dakota Thayer. The guards, number 7, 160-pound junior Brandon Ward, and number 32, 160-pound junior Cole Epley. The ends, number 12, 145-pound junior Stephen Kimenoff, and at number 42, 160-pound junior Josh Himmelberg. The fullback is number 36, 220-pound junior Chase Ehlers. The I-back, number 14, 165-pound sophomore Dylan Menke. And the quarterback, number 3, 150-pound junior Daniel Schroer. Head coach at Lawrence Nelson is Brian Blevins, assisted by Doug Worman, Philip Schroer, and Dylan, 5-2 on the season. We'll take a look at the starting lineup for the Amherst Broncos. Momentarily, they have a lot of youngsters again on their football team. Number 46, the center, is 5'8", 180-pound junior Tyler Martinson. The right guard, number 25, 5'10", 175-pound junior Chris Rasmussen. The left guard, number 88, 6'1", 160-pound freshman Ty Hadwiger. The ends are number 32, 5'9", 150-pound junior Mason Klingelhofer. And number 85, 5'9", 155-pound freshman Braden Eckhout. The fullback, the lone senior starter, number 45, 5'11", 200-pounder, Stuart Hercock. The I-back, number 20, 5'8", 145-pound sophomore is Devin Dibbern. And the quarterback, number 36, 5'10", 155-pound sophomore in Cale Preble. Head coach is Ron Evans, assisted by Cody Gillespie, Andrew Setoff, Jason Huerta, Brandon Siegel, and Colin Pfeiffer. Amherst is 5-2 on the season. And that's the starting lineup brought to you by Five Points Bank, the Better Bank.
We are problem solvers. We ask questions of our kids because we want to keep them safe. We ask where they're going, who they're going with, and who will be there. The time may come when they ask us tough questions like, I got invited to a party, can I go? When we have questions about helping our children navigate through choices about alcohol, we are not alone. For helpful videos and resources, visit positivepressure.org because we should never stop taking a stand as parents.
Congratulations, you've won $1 million from Publishers Click.
Move out of the way, is that a Valentino's delivery truck going down the street? I didn't know they deliver. Hey guys, Valentino's delivers.
It's the next best thing to enjoying Valentino's famous Grand Italian Buffet. Now delivery of pizza, pasta, and salads. Just a call away, 308-233-3888. That's 233-3888. Better than $1 million? Depends on how hungry you are.
Hey, didn't you hear me?
Valentino's at Kearney now delivers.
Misco Sports Incorporated wants you to see them before the games begin. They've kept your schools geared up for decades, and they'll do so for many seasons to come. Get your game on at Misco's now. With a storefront in Ord, they're just a phone call away to help you get better equipped for the games you play this year on the court or on the field. Or whether you need to suit up for that next play or show your team pride, Misco's has everything you'll need in the stands as well. A proud supporter of all the area youth and supporters of high school athletics, Misco Sports.
And welcome back to Amherst as we're ready for high school football old-fashioned style. Eight-man football Carl Doug, due to Larry Baker. You've been listening to the New Tech Seed pregame show. New Tech Seed, your yield leaders. Contact Terry and Jason Stark or a New Tech Seed dealer near you. Larry, what's the key to the football game besides staying out of trouble when you're going into the win?
I think the big thing tonight, Doug, is both these teams, the way they're set up, you've got to win up front. Both of them, this thing will be decided on who can handle this thing up front. The kind of interesting thing, too, here, you know, we had this a little bit last week, the young versus old here. Ron Evans, 40 years, he's done this a long time, played in a lot of different conditions, played a lot of big games. Can you get into the playoffs? Can you not? Brian Blevins on the other side, a little bit younger. He's going to, you know, does he understand how to handle these types of conditions in big games like this? So those are always big factors on a night like tonight. So kicking game is going to be a big deal. Can you punt in or out of the wind? And the same thing with kicking it off. Well, the ball is in the air, and Lawrence Nelson will take the opening kickoff. They go from left to right across the 15 to about the 17-yard line. And more importantly, the wind kind of swirling a little bit here at the football field. So you know that Lawrence Nelson going into it here, if you choose what you want to take here, whether you're going with the football or going against the wind. And in this football game, you just, these teams don't throw the ball anyway, and you don't expect to see a lot of it here tonight. So let's do the best we can. Yard markers will be blowing around. So will we. First down and 10 as they set them down. Man in motion, and they'll give it to the motion man coming around the right side, across the 20-yard line after the 21 is going to be Dylan Menke, the I back. Yeah, you just get a simple sweep there, Doug, out of that. Lawrence Nelson going to come out in kind of a double wing. Throwing the ball, well, the thing that will be interesting is if somebody tries to. This isn't necessarily your traditional going with or against the wind. The wind is kind of cutting across. It will make the ball knuckle if they try to put it in the air. Gain of two on the play. Call it second down at 8. They'll spread it a little more than maybe Amherst. Twitch to the right. Send that man in motion. They'll hand the quarterback. We'll give it off around the left side, and not much going there for number 23, Wyatt Thayer, taking the handoff from quarterback Daniel Schroer around the left side and basically got back to the line of scrimmage. Yeah, once you get there, Doug, Stuart Hurcock does a great job not overrunning the play. Lawrence Nelson comes out with kind of a twins look to the near side. On a night like tonight, that is one place that the wind will affect things, is they're not going to, Amherst won't respect that necessarily with throwing the ball. And you don't want to have to punt from deep in your own end tonight. Third and 8, going to be a little option pitch to the left side, and coming through and making the tackle behind the line of scrimmage will be the Broncos, and the tackle made by number 46, Tyler Martinson, in on the tackle, and no gain on the play. In fact, maybe a loss of yard back to the 20-yard line. Fourth down and 9. And the black uniforms here, not all that much of a help for Lawrence Nelson. They're ready to punt it away. What will happen? Oh, good line drive. That's going to be taken at the 30 of Amherst, and looking for some running room, stepping out of one tackle and not the second one will be Mason Klingelhopper. So a nice punt on the on that, considering everything that's going on at 30 yards. Yeah, I think that's a big key tonight, Doug, is how this punting the ball and moral fielding the punt. That's almost a more dangerous situation. You get a big stop on fourth down, and then you get actually punished by having to field a punt in this win. So it'll be first down and 10 here for Amherst. They'll start with the back football at their own 32-yard line. They'll line up in a I formation and give it to the I back up the left side, bounces back to the right side. Just trying to find a hole there, and again, nowhere to go. Maybe a yard on the play for Devin Devern. And again, can't emphasize enough, this is more like calling a reserve game with all these youngsters out there. I mean, the future's bright for both of these clubs when you look at how old these guys are. But we're seeing it already. Lawrence Nelson couldn't handle things up front, and Amherst doesn't on that play. Second down and 9, stand of the I formation, Preble the quarterback. He'll turn, keep it on the right side, and nowhere to go. He stretches for maybe a yard, and he's going to be brought down in the backfield. Getting back there is going to be number 36, Chase Ehlers. Now we start getting the situations in the game, Doug, that really are interesting with this weather. You've got third and long or third and uncomfortable here by Amherst, and the wind, though it's coming across the field, is at their back. Does Coach Evans try to take a chance here? Well, you know, too, that you're not going to throw the ball, so you can stack the box. There's a 6-2 look here from the defense, and it's going to be a pitch out to Dibbern, and Dibbern is hit in the backfield and dropped for about a 3-yard loss. He just didn't have a chance. Coming back there is going to be Stephen Kimenoff. And when you know that it's going to be tough to pass, you can bring even more pressure, and that's what we saw both teams do on the opening series. Yeah, the interesting thing is there, Lawrence Nelson actually lines up in a cover two look with two deep, but they blitzed everybody else. They brought pressure with six, so they did leave somebody back. So quickly, we're 8:35 to go in the first quarter. Low snap to the punter, who is able to get the boot away, and it is going to be fielded at the 11-yard line towards the left side, 15. Lawrence Nelson, 20, 15, 25, and out to the 30-yard line is Stephen Kimenoff, so a good return. Yeah, the both defenses here have looked pretty stout. Neither offense has been able to get anything going. Neither one got even close to a first down. But if you watch Lawrence Nelson field that punt, you saw that he had to run all the way to the far side of the field. The ball's going to knuckle terrible tonight on those punts. A 37-yard punt, but about a 15-yard return, and it's going to be first down and 10, Lawrence Nelson at their own 31-yard line. Scoreless, each team has had the ball three and out to start this football game. Now they'll line up in a true I formation. Lawrence Nelson will turn. They'll give it to the I back on the right side. Breaks a tackle to the 35, 37-yard line. And that's Wyatt Thayer getting some carry time here early on. Thayer with the carry. Yeah, Thayer does a nice job there. But the lead block by Chase Ehlers was devastating. It was just a straight ISO, and he hammers the Amherst defender in the hole there. Did just a great job on Stuart Hurcock there. Gain of 7, second down and 3. And the quarterback, Daniel Schwartz, sets him down. Can we have a pitch play to the right side? Here comes Amherst through, trying to knock the ball loose. 3, 4, 5 red jerseys drive the Lawrence Nelson ball carrier to the ground. And no chance that time for the I-back, Dylan Menke, right in there, number 45, Stuart Hurcock again. Lawrence Nelson's had some success here in the first two drives in the A-gap, where they've gotten troubles when they've swung the ball out. They get 9 yards on first down in the A-gap, try to swing the ball outside. Now they're 3rd and 7. We'll call it a loss of 4 on the play. Will we see our first pass attempt of the ball game? Lawrence Nelson has it at their own 34-yard line, 3rd and 7. And they're going to go toss play, halfback pass, throw it down the middle of the field. It's just hanging up there and overthrown, trying to get it to Kimenoff was Chase Ehlers. Kind of thought we would see maybe some of that tonight as well, Larry. We know Ron Evans likes to run gadget plays, trick plays, whatever you want to call it, but you're going to be focusing on the quarterback, and that time Ehlers just overthrew Kimenoff. He actually overthrew him. I wouldn't think that would happen tonight, especially against the wind, Doug. So the second punt of the night, as you can hear the wind in the background, the kick is away. Boy, we've seen some good punts angling towards the sideline, though. Let's see how far up the field it got. They'll start as it goes out of bounds around the 17, and that's where they're going to mark it. Boy, that's a heck of a spot on the punt. A 23-29-yard punt is all, and first down and 10 for Amherst. Yeah, Doug, and you look at how is the game going to this point. Lawrence Nelson at 0-0. Neither team's gotten a first down. But Lawrence Nelson's winning this initial battle. This is now Amherst's second possession, and here they are back just outside the 15-yard line. So the field position game's been won by Lawrence Nelson. Doug Goodell, Larry Baker with you here from Amherst. We're scoreless with 7 minutes to go in the first quarter. Amherst has it for the second time. Preble, fullback dive off the right side is Stuart Hurcock. Grinding the legs across the 20. He'll make it out to the 22 for about a 4-yard gain. And this is the kind of game where you need a Stuart Hurcock and you need a Chase Ehlers, because they're going to have to drag some people with them just to get some first downs tonight. That's exactly right, Doug. I'd look at this in a 3.5-yard of play offense tonight. The only thing that will take you off the field is a touchdown if you get 3.5 a play. So second down, we'll call it 6 yards to go. Send the man out of the backfield, Dibber, that gives him a wide out for the first time to the right side. Preble back to pass, didn't have pressure. Now the lefty throws it over the middle. Hurcock's open, he's got it at the 40, and he trips over his own feet trying to avoid the defensive secondary player. The cornerback there was Daniel Schroer. He'll be brought down at the 37-yard line, and a gain of 22 on the play. First down. Yeah, there's no question he scores a touchdown there if he doesn't fall down. There was nobody around him, and Braden Eckhout came out on a vertical route running a 9 route. Nobody went with him either, so Amherst got something going there with Lawrence Nelson not going with either receiver. time we've been across midfield for either team. This time the quarterback, Preble, fakes the fullback dive, keeps it himself, and barely makes a yard, stretches forward to the 36-yard line. It'll be second down and 9. So Cale just trying to make something happen out there, and he actually is going to come over to the sideline, and checking in is Trey Tobenheim, a freshman. Yeah, they love Trey Tobenheim. He's a young freshman, but he's pretty heady. He's got a pretty good body on him. He's done a very good job at that quarterback as a young guy so far this year. So second down and 9. Dibbern moves out of the backfield again. Tobenheim just simply hands it off to Hurcock, who has met at the line of scrimmage, and he is wrestled down one-on-one by number 14, Dylan Mankey, who's a good, solid football player himself for Lawrence Nelson. Yeah, Hurcock was awful high. You want your fullback to hit that hole nice and low and run behind your pads there. Hurcock didn't run behind his pads and allowed one guy to bring him down there. You want your fullback low and digging. Third down and 9 now. Amherst at the Lawrence Nelson 36, scoreless with just over 5 minutes to go. First quarter, Dibbin in motion again to the right side. Preble back in as the quarterback. They set up a screen pass. Hurcock complete to the 30. Makes a man miss 25. Drags a man to the 20. Brought down at the 18-yard line. They were at the 36, so they got halfway to the goal line. 2 for 2 now. Hurcock hauls that in for another Amherst first down. Yeah, Amherst does a nice job throwing the ball there. Screen was really good. One of the things you can look at, Doug, if you're familiar with Amherst's field, it's surrounded by trees. Of course, the heavy wind today. We've had tons of leaves blow. The leaves aren't blowing right now. You see, the wind has died down considerably, Doug. You can almost open your window. I don't want you to chill down now. First and 10, back to the I formation here. And it's Tobenheim, the quarterback, pitch play left side. Dibbern dances out of 1, dances out of 2, but there's 5 guys waiting for him, and he's going to lose a yard on the play. Is that the running back fault really on either side when they've lost yardage? 1-on-4 is never going to get it done, unless you're Braxton Miller. And I think the thing there, Doug, now here comes the wind again right after I say that. I think the key here, Doug, is as we talk about both these teams being young, it's not backs and receivers and things like that that you like to have the experience on. It's the guys up front. And that's where we say this will be one in the trenches. These are two very young teams, and they're young up front. Loss of 1 on the play, second 11. They'll try a crossbuck play here to Hurcock off the right side. Look at him drag players to the 15, to the 10. They're still trying to jump on his back as he gets towards the rodeo grounds here at Amherst. Nearly a first down. Big run. Hurcock's got to be a little bit careful there, Doug. That's a great run, driving his leg. But he did not have, you know, as a coach, we said you need to have 5 points of pressure on the ball at all times. He had it swinging from his body there. That's a great deal, and it's super fun to drag guys with you, but you have to hang on to the ball. And if he gets in that situation again, there's a chance that ball will come out. He'll get just enough for the first down. It's first and goal at the 8. Tobenheim, the quarterback, fake the pitch, hand it off on the right side. Hurcock walks in, barely touched for the touchdown. They fake the pitch to Dibbern, and off the right side, Hurcock went in, just being brushed by one Lawrence Nelson linebacker, and it's 6-0 Broncos, 3:51 to go in the first. Yeah, now they're going to kick the ball into the rodeo grounds, and they do, if you're familiar again here, they have a nice building there now. As a coach, one of the first times I ever came here, we actually kicked an extra point through there, and there actually was cattle in there, Doug. Did you go get it? Now they're going to change it and go for 2. Send Hurcock in motion to the right side. Dibbern the lone back. Preble along to his right. A little shovel pass to Dibbern. That play didn't work. That was a busted play. Didn't look good, or it was a busted play. Yeah, and this is where you get, you know, we talked about this last week, Doug. You know, the going for 2 versus just kicking the extra point. It's windy tonight, I understand all that. But you get in these situations where you start chasing points, and these 1 point can come back to haunt you later. You've got to get that free point on a touchdown. Well, we'll take a timeout with the score. Amherst 6 and Lawrence Nelson nothing. 3:51 to go in the first. You're listening to Thursday Night Football on Classic Hits.
Mobile Bank All is here exclusively from Five Points Bank. It's the ultimate on-demand mobile banking service. You'll find 3 secure ways to access your banking information from your cell phone with internet access. Mobile Bank All from Five Points Bank gives you powerful features securely delivered through the account menu. Mobile Bank All allows you to view your account balances, pending activity, transfer money, pay bills, and view alerts. Enroll today. Mobile Bank All is a free service for internet banking customers at the Better Bank, Five Points Bank.
Helpful people, dependable products, and the ones you can count on. Fast Fills Plaza on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Fill your tank with Cynic's gasoline and fill your tummy with all your favorite munchies at Fast Fills.
They're also your Husker and Storm headquarters with a great selection of Tri-City Storm and Nebraska Husker apparel. You're sure to find your favorite style shirts, hats, gloves, and more. Your Cynic Station with pay at the pump option. All at Fast Fills Plaza, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
3:51 to go in the first quarter. Amherst has scored as they get ready to boot away. And Hercock puts his toe into it. It'll be fielded at the 7-yard line by Lawrence Nelson. Up the middle of the field, big hole. 20, 30, and Spahn still on his feet. Up to the 35, 40, towards the Lawrence Nelson sideline. And they're probably getting tackled out of bounds. Let's see if there's a penalty flag over there. Great return. I believe it was Kimenaugh that brought that ball back up the field. First down and 10, Lawrence Nelson. That's key in the special teams tonight, Larry. You can take care of a lot of field position on one play.
Well, yeah, and there you take right away. Lawrence Nelson gets to start this thing at midfield. Stuart Hercock tried to put a hero shot on the ball carrier. He hits him, but he didn't wrap him up at all. You can't tackle like a torpedo. You've got to use your arms.
So Lawrence Nelson will run their first play in Amherst territory of the night at the 36-yard line. Handed off on the left side. Pretty good hole there for Dylan Makey. And he'll get to the 30-yard line. Ball came loose, but I believe after the whistle had blown, it scored it out. And a break for Lawrence Nelson. Again, on a night like this, it's the small things. Haven't had a penalty yet. Don't want a turnover because you have got to find a way to grind out yardage. And he's going to get a good gain on the play of 6, 2nd and 4.
This is a really important drive for both teams here, Doug. Amherst just took it straight down the field, the length of the field, and stuck it in. They feel good about themselves. They like to get the ball right back here. And if you're Lawrence Nelson, you don't want your diver to get down. You want to try to answer that score.
2nd and 6, Lone out of the backfield. They fake the handoff. They want to go inside with a little counter, and it did not work. And being brought down is going to be Dan Schwartz. I don't think that the slot back, Brandon Ward, was expecting to get the ball, and I think Schwartz wanted to give it to him.
No, and this is kind of odd. We talked young versus new coaches-wise tonight. Lawrence Nelson's came out with a lot of razzmatazz, and if you've ever watched Amherst play, Ron Evans is full of the razzmatazz, and Ron Evans has came up pretty vanilla tonight, and Lawrence Nelson's throwing everything at him.
Going to be a loss of about 3 on the play. We'll call it 3rd down and 7. Lawrence Nelson at the 33 of Amherst. Back to pass with Schroer. Some pressure. And he's going to be brought down to the backfield. Coming through unmolested to make the sack is going to be Mason Klingelhopper. Not a lot of upperclassmen, but he may, along with Hercock, be the best.
Yeah, Mason does a great job there, Doug. He tackles with his arms. He grabs cloth. We've seen Amherst a few times tonight come out and try to put a hero shot on a Lawrence Nelson ball carrier and not get him to the ground. Mason did a great job there doing the small things the right way.
So 4th and 13, just across midfield. Now this is where we thought you'd get some interesting plays tonight. They're lined up to go for it. Now dropping back to throw the football will be Schroer, and he flat out overthrows Chase Ehlers towards the Lawrence Nelson sideline. Ehlers had gotten behind the linebacker, and there was no safety. Dibbern was trying to get over there, but that was the first pass attempt. And, again, when you don't throw the ball, and amazingly, Amherst does throw the ball more than Lawrence Nelson, this makes it even tougher. You're just not used to throwing the ball if you're a Raider.
Yeah, and I would have thought a punt there. Put them back, make them drive the field. You're giving it to them in plus territory here. That's a tough way to put your defense back on the field.
1st down and 10, and the flags come out for our first penalty of the ball game. It's Amherst 6, Lawrence Nelson nothing, 1:43 to go here in the first quarter of play. And the winds that have been sustained, I'm sure, by the weekend, they'll be talking about how they were 80 mile an hour when they were more like 40 or 50. And then in a year, remember they were 90 mile an hour when we went over to Amherst and we played football and the wind blew 90, like the whole game. It's going to be an illegal procedure, a 5-yard penalty, the first of the ball game. 4 first downs for Amherst. Lawrence Nelson looking for their first, going more into the wind than Amherst would be here in the first quarter. So 1st and 15 at their own 34. I formation here. And Dibbern coming out of the backfield. They've been doing that a lot here in the last two series. Back to pass. Toppenheim steps out of an ankle tackle. Lost it up there and wide open and through the hands of Mason Klingelhopper. He was wide open, but give Toppenheim, the freshman, a lot of credit for scrambling out of that just to have a chance to throw the football.
Yeah, these are the kinds of things that Coach Evans likes about Toppenheim. He does a great job there. He rolled right into a blitz and was able to get out of it, bought himself enough time, got his feet set, and threw a strike into Mason Klingelhopper, and it was 6. He just dropped it.
Well, Mason just made the big play on defense. Those hands got to be A little chilly out there tonight as well. Counterplay, handed off over the left side. Dibbern comes crashing across the 35 and stretches out to about the 38-yard line. It's going to be a gain of 4 for Dibbern on the third and long here coming up for Amherst. So long yard situation, trying to see what they can pick up on the ground. Yeah, it's third and long, but when you play Ron Evans, this is a super scary time because he'll pull anything out of his hat here. Comes out in a traditional set, though. Dibbert in motion, giving him uncovered on the right side. Take the handoff, now it's a draw. Hurcock going to be upended after a short gain, just getting into Lawrence Nelson territory at the 39-yard line, and making the tackle is Dylan Mankey. We'll give Hurcock 3 yards on the play. Stewart now 26 yards on 5 carries. And a punting situation here. Just enough time on the clock that they'll have to punt it with the wind. And that's exactly what they want to do. So 4th and 8 at the Lawrence Nelson 39-yard line, leading it with 30 seconds to go in the first quarter. Amherst up 6-0. And back to punt the ball away. The snap is made. The kick is away, trying to angle it towards the corner, and does. It's going to go out of bounds somewhere between the 10 and the 15. Let's see what kind of angle they give him here. Looks like they'll give it to him about the 13. So even though it's only a 26-yard punt, it does the job and doesn't give the Raiders a chance to return the football for if you're an Amherst fan. Yeah, if you're Lawrence Nelson, you're happy there. You go for it on fourth down, trusting your defense, and your defense came through and got the ball back for you. So Coach Blevins did a great job there getting his defense to step up and bow their neck in a spot where they needed to. So first and 10 here for Lawrence Nelson. Marked the ball at the Raider 8-yard line, they're going to say. So maybe get a little more on that than we initially thought. And trying to run the left side is going to be number 14, Dylan Mankey. He'll get up to the 15, the 16, short of the first down, and that'll be the end of the first quarter of play. It'll be second and short for Lawrence Nelson. When we start the second quarter, give Mankey a carry of 8 yards. That's their best run of the first quarter. That's the end of the first quarter. It's Amherst 6 and Lawrence Nelson nothing in the regular season finale on a windy night here on Classic Hits. We're back in a minute.
Builders knows that you'd rather spend time enjoying your home rather than constantly repairing it. That's why they offer only the highest quality products from the best-known suppliers like Anderson Windows and DeWalt Power Tools. Builders also knows that price matters. That's why they back everything with a guarantee price match. Find the exact same item anywhere else with a lower price, Builders will match it. Get the best products at the best price. Builders in Kearney and Grand Island.
Builders does the best.
Maybe it's the fresh-cut onions in Long John Silver's new onion rings. Or maybe it's just hard to say goodbye.
Try Long John Silver's new signature battered onion rings. Served hot and fresh for a taste you're gonna love. Get a basket for just $4.99. It's a deal that'll make you say,
"That's what I like!"
Along with our producer-engineer, Stacy Johns, I'm Doug Duda with Larry Baker here at Amherst, where we start the second quarter of play. Amherst 6 and Lawrence Nelson nothing. The Raiders have the ball 2nd and 2 at their own 16-yard line as we get things going. We'll have a little bit more of the wind at their back, as you can hear in the background. Toss play right side. They get it to Wyatt Sayre, and he is dropped down deep behind the line of scrimmage. Larry, we have seen not just 1-yard losses, 4- and 5-yard losses. Yeah, the key there, we talked about the matchup up front. They've got Stuart Hurcock, where he played. He was an inside linebacker last year. He's playing more of like a 2 or a 3 tech down line with his hand in the dirt. And when he comes off the ball and plays with his hands, he's wrecking things in the backfield right now, and that's probably his 3rd or 4th tackle for a loss, Doug. Loss of 6 on the play. We'll make it 3rd down and 8 back at their own 11-yard line here. And the quarterback, Dan Schwartz, set them down. Now we've got whistles, and I think Lawrence Nelson wants to call a timeout. They're a little late getting out of the huddle, and that's exactly what they'll do. So our first timeout of the ball game, 40 seconds into the second quarter. Unofficially, numbers we had in the first quarter, I had 26 yards rushing for Stuart Hurcock, and the young quarterback, Cale Preble, was 2 of 2 through the air for 40 yards. That helped move him down the field for the touchdown run that was taken in by Stuart Hurcock from 8 yards out.
Yeah, you get the situation here, Doug, and Lawrence Nelson, again on another drive, gets a tremendous first down play where they're in great shape down and distance-wise. They're ahead of the chain, and now here they find themselves in third and uncomfortable again. They've got a way to find a way to sustain this first down momentum that they've had. They've moved the ball on first down on every drive they've had, yet they can't seem to sustain that down the field.
So it doesn't take Lawrence Nelson long to figure out what they want to do over there on the sideline with Coach Blevins. Don't forget, plenty of football going on. More tomorrow night. We've got Central City at Kevin here on Classic Hits 98.9. Also, cross country tomorrow. Updates all day long here on Classic Hits and ESPN Radio. They'll split a man out wide left and right. They'll pitch the ball right side, try to go with a little reverse. It's a school ground play that goes nowhere, and Lawrence Nelson is dropped all the way back down, lost the football, and Amherst does get it, Larry.
Yeah, Amherst fell on that, Doug. The reverse got blown up, so he wasn't able to hand the ball off. It was more of a pitch, and the ball hit the ground. Amherst picks it up, and they're in business here now, first and goal from about the one-yard line, Doug.
Could not tell who covered that ball for Lawrence Nelson, but they're about ready, or for Amherst, but they're about ready to go up 12 to nothing. It's at the one. First and goal at the one. Split the backs, hand it off, left side, pile up, and no signal. You can hear the Amherst folks saying touchdown, but nothing there. And now Preble's going to come out of the football game, and Tobenheim will come in. By that straight, if you're the one-yard line, you need to change quarterbacks and bring in the smaller of the two.
Well, whichever one has had the best relationship of handing it off to Stuart Hurcock, it's probably the one that's coming in here.
And now they'll put Dibbert in the slot right. Hurcock, the only man in the backfield. Quarterback sneak, Tobenheim, and good surge by the defensive line of Lawrence Nelson, and I don't think he got in. They come into IF and say, no, and it's going to be third and goal from the one.
I tell you what, though, Doug, Amherst is playing that they're overloaded to the near side where they've only got an A-man football guard and nobody else on the weak side there. And Lawrence Nelson is shaded completely to the strong side. If they were to run anything to that weak side there, they'll walk into the end zone.
Third down and goal now. Preble back in as the quarterback. Runs it to the right side. And a touchdown for Amherst. Devern just sprinted to the right side. They didn't go up the middle, and Lawrence Nelson, they had to guess a little bit. They got it right the first two times, but not that time. And Devern's in, 12-0, Amherst.
Yeah, that's a good call there. Give it to your fast kid, let him run to the pylon. That's what you tell him when you call the play. You can call some sort of sweep, whatever your terminology is for it, but you just tell him you're running to the pylon. You've got the angle there. And Amherst is going to line up and go for two again, Doug.
Last time they were not able to get the two-point conversion. They'll try to do it here. And we've got penalty flags. Movement on the right guard that time. And this is what kills you when you're a two-point conversion team. Big difference when you're 7 yards out instead of two.
Yeah, there's no question about that, Doug. This makes it a lot tougher. Changes the play call. You've got that in your mind all week, what you want to do. And I just saw that, Doug. I think a rollout pass here is probably right.
Spencer Schubert from NTV on hand. You're going to be able to check some highlights out tonight. So the extra point from 7 yards out, they send Hurcock in motion to the left. And back to passes. Preble has some time, throws to the right pylon, and undershoots the intended receiver in Braden Eckhout. And so the two-point conversion is no good, but Amherst is up by two scores, 10-1 to go in the first half. Broncos 12, Lawrence Nelson nothing. You're listening to KKPR-FM, Carney Hastings, Grand Island. We'll be right back.
It's fall, and we Nebraskans are serious about our football. We pay attention to the punch, the passes, the tackles, and the touchdowns. Same thing goes for hassle-free at the Midway Auto Group. Folks at Midway care about every aspect of your buying and ownership experience. You find their lowest prices right there in the window. And when you purchase, you can get a free year of routine maintenance and free car washes for life. Hassle-free. It's a big deal. At the Midway Auto Group on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Or online at thinkmidway.com. Think hassle-free. Think Midway.
Effort isn't always the difference. Maybe it's a matter of inches, a split second, feeling the comfort and confidence in your sports equipment. Coming soon, TM Sporting Goods. New to downtown Kearney. Home of Brooks, Mizuno, Asics, Russell Athletic, Wilson Sporting Goods, and Diamond Sports. Along with Under Armour. And featuring experienced pros like Steve Marinol and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods. Coming soon on the bricks at 2217 Central. TM Sporting Goods. A division of Pro Team Design.
Doug Duda, Larry Baker, back with you here in Amherst as the Broncos up 12-0, ready to kick off again. Low squibber into the wind, and it bounces. It's still bouncing around. Mankey finally finds the handle on it, but in time to go back there and wrap him up, it's going to be Ty Hadlinger, and he will not make it out to the 15-yard line. Looks like he'll be just short at the 14. And, Doug, I can assure you from Lawrence Nelson's perspective, this is the most adversity these young guys have ever really had in their career. They were 0-8 last year. Through this year, they won the games they won, got blown out the ones they didn't. This is a game they spent all week talking about playoffs and beat Amherst and the end of year and those kinds of things, and they put themselves in tough spots. We'll see how they respond.
Lawrence Nelson moving with the wind mainly at their back from right to left, trailing 12-0. They'll hand it off on the right side and crash across the 15 to about the 17-yard line. And that's going to be number 23, Wyatt Thayer again. Thayer has seen a little bit more carrying and a little more rushing tonight than we would have expected, but Thayer picking up about 2 yards. We'll call it second down and 8. 12-0. Amherst with the lead. We'll give you some scores from other games around the area on the Valentino's Hotline here in just a couple of minutes, so stay with us. 12-0 Amherst. Lawrence Nelson still looking for their first down of the game. Second and 8. Schroer hands it off over the right side. The ball's loose, and Amherst got it again. And we'll try and see who that is off the bottom of the pile. It's number 25, Chris Rasmussen. So 3 plays, 2 fumbles for Lawrence Nelson. This is what I was talking about, Doug. When the air, you know, I've said this sometimes, when the air goes out of the room, who can still breathe? You know, is going to handle these type of tight situations. Right now for Lawrence Nelson, the air went out of the room, and they're coughing a little bit. They cannot let this thing get to 20-0. That makes things really rough. So Amherst, 1st and 10 at the 18 after the Chris Rasmussen fumble recovery. Zimmern in motion, he'll be in the slot right. Now he sets up behind his right guard. Preble turns, gives it to Hercock. He's wrapped up before he even gets the football, and he'll be dragged backwards. So just too many bodies in one little area there as Amherst tried to get a little fancy and drop down for no gain. And among those in on the tackle, Dan Schroer, but give credit to that line for busting things up. Yeah, Hercock's really got to be careful there, Doug. Again, he was churning, and the ball was waving. When you get in those tough situations, especially when you're a big fullback and you got big pads on, you've got to keep that thing close to your body and keep 2 hands on the ball. Loss of 2, 2nd down and 12 at the Lawrence Nelson 20. And Tom and I back the pass. The lefty throws towards the pylon. It's underthrown, and it is incomplete. Just about picked off. Schroer tried to get his hands underneath it, but nobody opened that time on the pass route for the freshman, Tom and I. No, and unlike the other times he threw the ball there, Doug, he did not set his feet that time. The ball was underthrown. You need your quarterback to set his feet to be able so his hips can push that ball all the way through. 3rd and 12 at the Raider 20-yard line. Zimmern in motion to the right side. Now Hercock in the backfield. Preble, the quarterback, trying to set up a little screen, and they can't complete that. Trying to dump it underneath to Hercock, who surprisingly, even though he was shadowed a little bit there by John Doty Jr., is still pretty open coming out of the backfield. Yeah, they were really concerned with following guys down the field there and cleared everything out. And Hercock was open there. Amherst obviously will go for this here on 4th down, Doug, but they have not capitalized on the big mistake that Lawrence Nelson's made here. 4th and 12 at the 20. And now I think Amherst has decided to call a timeout and check things over. So we'll take one with them. 8:26 to go in the first half. Amherst 12, Lawrence Nelson nothing. High school football here on Classic Hits.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back into the game of life. With 2 locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic located in the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic located in the ENT building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center with two locations in Kearney, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game.
Today, more and more people are insuring their homes with us through Auto Owners Insurance. I'm Dave Challey at Barney Insurance. We'll provide low-cost, quality protection, claim service second to none, and if you insure both your home and car through Auto Owners Insurance, you'll qualify for additional premium discounts. Stop by or give us a call at 237-2222. We're Barney Insurance.
Time is the true test of endurance. Barney Insurance.
Well, Amherst out of the timeout is 4th and 12 at the Raider 20. Talbenheim back to pass. Under some pressure, scrambling to the left. Now he's going to run it, and he is going to get minimal yardage and be tripped up, and Lawrence Nelson gets him around the 15-yard line, and they're able to hold there. That's a big hold for Lawrence Nelson after back-to-back fumbles in their own red zone. Yeah, that's huge, Doug. You know, like we said, Lawrence Nelson couldn't let this thing get to three scores there with the way their offense is kind of a slower-scoring offense. That was huge there. You kind of saw it on Amherst why they liked Talbenheim. He looked a little slippery there on that. Lawrence Nelson does a nice job bringing him down, but he's in the open field and had some good moves. 12-0 in favor of Amherst. Lawrence Nelson now out of the I formation, still looking for their first down, and they will hand it off to the fullback, safe down to the quarterback. Schroer is going to keep it, and he's just not going anywhere, as Amherst defense has been outstanding here so far in this first half. Hercock is back there. Cale Preble is back there on the defense. Yeah, Amherst is awful stout here. North South haven't done anything lately real flashy. Amherst just being able to stay in their gaps, but Amherst is playing the run really well here. Still out of that I formation. They went with some different looks on the first drive, and not so much here. Pitch play to the right side, trying to reverse his field, going back up to the middle, across the center for a couple yards. Just nothing going on. Lawrence Nelson brought down right there. With the carry is going to be Dylan Mankey. And a gain of three. Mankey has 15 yards on six carries unofficially in the ball game. Amherst 12-0 with 7:18 to go and counting here in the first half of play. Lawrence Nelson trying to discuss what's going on this play, still trying to find a first down and maybe just give themselves a little bit better field position, turn the field around. But still in that I formation, no wideouts. Schroer back to pass, has plenty of time, throwing it deep out here, puts a pattern in the flat to the 35, and it is overthrown, trying to get it into the hands of Stephen Kimenaugh, who looks like he is the speedster of this bunch, but still 0-for-3 through the air so far for Lawrence Nelson. Yeah, Doug, and Amherst on the season has actually given up more rushing yards than they've been able to accumulate themselves. So their defense hasn't been incredibly stout against the run on the season. They've given up 1,600 rushing yards this year, but they're awful tough tonight. They've got it nailed down against Lawrence Nelson. Well, the punt is away, fielded by Amherst at their own 36-yard line by Klingelhoffer. Dances up to the 40, gets into Lawrence Nelson territory to the 38-yard line. That's going to be about a 26-yard punt is all. And with this wind howling like it is tonight, whether it's behind you or in front of you or into it, it's kind of swirling and tough to get anything done. But that's where the Amherst Broncos will take over. They have controlled this entire first half. Even after not getting great field position, Lawrence Nelson went for it at midfield, didn't get it, and then that's kind of turned the field here a little bit. 12-0 Amherst at the 39 of Lawrence Nelson. Hercock splits out to the right side. Preble throws a little pop pass to Klingelhoffer. Klingelhoffer has it across the 30 and down to about the 27-yard line. Good enough for a Amherst first down. Lawrence Nelson's linebackers and DBs there need to be aggressive. They ran that little seam pass right in between the linebackers, and Lawrence Nelson is playing too deep. They've got two safeties deep there, so he runs it right in between two safeties and two linebackers. Those guys have got to get aggressive and come up and make the play. Cale Preble has looked good tonight when they've asked him to throw the football. It's a gain of 12, first down and 10. They'll split the backs, hand it to Hercock off the right side, and he will get across the 25, and there's like 14 guys in that pile with 16 on the field, and Hercock's just too tough. They can't take him down on the wrestling mat very often. It's hard to take him down on the football field. Yeah, and then all of his teammates came in and helped push the pile. Amherst has always been really, really good at that, making sure that they push the pile. Aid the runner, right?
There is no such thing. We saw that last week, that there's no such thing as aiding the runner.
Going to call it a gain of about three. Second down and seven on the right hash. They'll give it to Dipper this time. Pitch play to the short side of the field. And he is going to get to the 20-yard line. Let's see where they mark him out of bounds. Again, with all the yard markers blown over here, we have to wait till after the play most of the time just to let you know what's going on. But Dibbern is able to pick up about six on the play, maybe five. We'll call it third down and 2 yards to go here for Devin Dibbern, who has a touchdown, as does Hercock. But for Devin, it's been kind of slow going. I got him 6 carries, 8 yards, and the 1 yard touchdown run. Third down and 2 at the Lawrence Nelson 18. I formation, Tobenheim, the quarterback, hands it to Dibbern, has a hole, bounces off one man, now spins to get the first down. Good run by Kevin Dibbern, who bounced off two or three Raiders. And what you're starting to see out of Dibbern now is a little more competitiveness with the ball, Doug. Early, he got it early a little bit, but now he's starting to really churn his legs.
Well, they didn't give him the first down there, Larry. That looked like that was for sure first down yardage for Dibbern. So it's fourth and about a half a yard. They didn't even measure Preble, the quarterback. And it's a pitch play to Dibbern around the left side, and he's not going to get it. Lawrence Nelson, as if they knew what the play call was. That's 6-on-3 that time, and no first down. Turnover on downs for Amherst.
That call's actually really surprising there. If you've watched Amherst play a lot, Ron Evans will run a quarterback sneak on first down. He runs them all the time, and they're on fourth and short. There was a bubble. They had a nose guard in a zero position, and then somebody in a five tech, so he could have gone right over the guard there, but no quarterback sneak.
The wind continues to howl with Amherst leading at 12-0. Lawrence Nelson, fullback dive, up the middle they go for about 3 yards to the 24-yard line, maybe a 4-yard gain.
Yeah, Lawrence Nelson has done a great job here, Doug. They have been thoroughly outplayed in this first half. There's 4.5 left in the second quarter, and they've been thoroughly outplayed. Yet it's 12-0, and they're hanging in here. They're one shot play away here from having this thing be a one-possession game. And that's obviously where they'd like to see it end up here before the half.
Second down and 6. Hand off again. There's some room. Up the middle of the football field is going to be Thayer. Thayer, 35, out to the 39-yard line. Good, strong run that time by the Raiders and Wyatt Thayer.
Well, that's exactly what we just talked about, Doug. There they get a big play, and there was a huge hole there. He just stumbled a little bit coming through it. Otherwise, he'd still be running. Lawrence Nelson just needs to churn this out.
That is the first down of the football game here for Lawrence Nelson. Let's see if they get something going. Hand off over the left side. Hole in Amherst territory. 35-34 for Dylan Mankey. And 2 good runs in a row with 3:50 to go in the first half. 12-0 Amherst, but Lawrence Nelson for the first time on the move.
Yeah, Doug, and that's the second play in a row where it took cornerbacks to come up and make a tackle for Amherst. That's not where they want to live.
Gain of 6 on the play. Second down and 4 at the Amherst 34-yard line. I formation. Schwarr hands it up the middle and nowhere to go for the fullback. Chase Ehlers that time got a yard. We'll call it 3rd and 3.
Yeah, Mason Klingelhofer for Amherst steps up, Doug. Gets a great run fit from his linebacker position. Formed him up. Tremendous tackler we've seen tonight. He's doing a really nice job there.
Third down and 3. Went from the 34 to the 33.5. 3 minutes and counting to go here in the first half. 12-0 Amherst out of the I formation. They hand it off to Mankey. Hit the backfield. Gets to the line of scrimmage, and that is all. Dibbern's in there. Also in there is Preble. And, of course, number 46, Tyler Martinson, is in there. It's now 4th and 3.
Amherst is doing a tremendous job, Doug. When they're not making the tackle at the line of scrimmage, what's happening is there's nobody right at the point of attack. Amherst is doing a great job. When they get somebody there at the point of attack, they rally tackle really well.
Only one first down of the game for Lawrence Nelson. They need 3 yards on 4th down to get their next one, and they got all of Amherst to jump here. Penalty flags out. Did somebody twitch for the Raiders? Or will it be on Amherst? When you have that many guys to jump, it does make you wonder a little bit, but a good hard count by the quarterback, Dan Schwarr. And it will be offsides and a first down here for Lawrence Nelson. So well done there to run the hard count and get the free first down. Yeah, this is exactly what Lawrence Nelson needed here. They're putting a drive together, whether you're getting help from the other guys or not. The point is here, keep the ball out of Amherst's hands and end up with some points. First and 10 at the Amherst 28-yard line, 2:15 and counting to go here in the first half, 12-0 Amherst. Pitch play right side, Binky hit the backfield, gets back to the line of scrimmage, stood up there, and now brought down to the field here at Amherst, and just hard running all night long. Stuart Hercock in the middle of that, also in the backfield. Colton Burt, call his name for the first time tonight. Not that that's the first time he's been in there, but great job to bring up second down and 10 here for Lawrence Nelson. Both teams have two timeouts remaining. Clock running a little bit at 45 to go. Second down and 10 at the 28-yard line of Amherst. Down in that I formation. And the quarterback, Dan Shore, sets him down. Pullback dive, yes it is, and a couple to the 26-yard line for Ehlers. Now you have to decide, is it time to use a timeout, or do you wait to see if you can get another first down? No, I wait to see if I get another first down. Right now the clock running is helping me. Lawrence Nelson obviously wants to get points here, Doug, but if they can get this thing to the half, 12-0, where they can sit down and talk to these young guys, that will be a victory for them, the way as many big mistakes as they've made. Again, no senior starters for Lawrence Nelson, one for Amherst. Third and 7 at the 25, and now timeout defensively for Amherst and Coach Ron Evans. So exactly 1 minute to go here in the first half. It's Amherst 12 and Lawrence Nelson nothing. You're listening to High School Football on Classic Hits. We'll be right back.
A year ago, 6-year-old Nebraska fan Jack Hoffman suffered a seizure. Diagnosed with brain cancer, Jack Story touched Cornhusker All-American Rex Burkhead and the hearts of the Husker Nation. As a result, we at Platte River Radio and other Husker-affiliated radio companies are supporting the sale of Team Jack T-shirts. $10 from each shirt purchase benefits the CureSearch Team Jack Legacy Fund to fight pediatric cancer. Shirts are on sale now, where Husker merchandise is sold at Allen Superstore of Hastings. See complete information at Team Jack on Facebook.
The 3Ls of PlatteRiverPreps.com. Log on for info on all your favorite teams with links to articles organized by school and sport. Listen to any of the radio broadcasts on our 5 Platte River radio stations and download podcasts to past events. And like us on Facebook to get select pictures and breaking news of high school sports going on. Platte River Preps, your one-stop source for high school sporting news covering over 100 teams across the state of Nebraska. Go to PlatteRiverPreps.com.
Back here on KKPR-FM, Kearney, Amherst, and Pleasanton, 3rd and 7 at the 25. Back to pass Schwarr for Lawrence Nelson. Lost it to the end zone. It's a jump ball. It is caught, and it is short of the touchdown for Stephen Kimmelaw, but it'll be first down and goal. Well, in some ways, that's the best thing that could happen for Lawrence Nelson in the sense they get the first down. They actually still have the ball, so the clock's going to continue to run. But as anemic as they've been on offense tonight, Doug, when you get a play like that, you'd like to just stick it in the end zone so you don't have to snap the ball again. That is the first completed pass tonight for Lawrence Nelson. First and goal at the 2, 45 seconds and counting. Line up with the I formation. Schwarr sets it down, gives it to the I-back. Mankey, he's hit immediately in the backfield and driven backwards. And coming through, Mason Clailhopper. And Lawrence Nelson has to use a timeout here, and they will, stopping the clock with 32 seconds. But, again, Lawrence Nelson gets a good play, and then they go backwards 3 or 4 yards. Yeah, and Mason Klingelhofer fires there. They had a blitz on her. It was the greatest run read in the world, but he just has a tremendous fit. Doug, Mason Klingelhofer gets himself in the hole, broke down, and he's able to wrap up and drive his feet. He's really doing a nice job tonight, and now it gets a little scary. Now you're back towards the 5, and Lawrence Nelson's going to have to draw something up. That's the trouble when you fall down and you don't get in that situation. Going to put a few more seconds on the clock here, but it is second down and goal at the 3-yard line. They'll say a loss of the yard on the play. Each team with one timeout remaining. It's Amherst 12 and Lawrence Nelson nothing. You're listening to Friday Night Football here on Classic Hits. Coming up, the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. We'll run down some of the first half stats that we have. We'll take a look at some of the scores in the area for high school football and talk about what's still to come tomorrow. Most A and B across the state and still a good number of C and D. And, of course, that last week of the season, back when I think all of us went to school, it's still a little bit the case. Parent-teacher conferences or fall break, a lot of kids don't have school tomorrow, and that's why they want to play these games on Thursday. So second down and goal at the three-yard line here for Lawrence Nelson, trying to get on the board. Out of the I formation, they give it off the left side, and this time Mickey crashes into the end zone for a Raider touchdown. Yeah, Lawrence Nelson went the other way that time. They tried to run that thing into Mason Klingelhofer several times and had no luck. They went the other way that time and got it into the end zone. A lot of credit to Brian Blevins there. At no point did he panic and try to draw some up in the dirt. Stayed with his basic power stuff that he's ran all year. And Doug, 31 seconds left in the half. Lawrence Nelson's got themselves right back in this game, and it doesn't look like they want to kick it either. So Amherst has not been able to convert on their extra points. Let's find out if Lawrence Nelson can convert on their extra point. Fake the toss, but throw it over the middle, and it is incomplete, getting in front of the intended receiver, who was number 12. Stephen Kimmenaugh was the freshman in Tavenheim. So we've got three touchdowns with no conversions. 31 seconds to go before halftime. Amherst 12, Lawrence Nelson 6. We're back with the kickoff in 30 seconds.
You see it every weekend. Teams at every level emphasizing the look of their uniform. Look sharp, play sharp. It's what they're affirming. And Pro Team Design puts any sports apparel style, screen print, or embroidery at your fingertips. In person or online, the latest designs from the widest selection of brands. Look sharp, play sharp with Pro Team Design. 2716 Old Fair Road, Grand Island. Or shop and order online at ProTeamDesign.com.
Well, unless Amherst can get a really good return here on the kickoff, they will be satisfied, I would think, with going into the halftime. We would like to say locker room, but they just stay here at the field. 12-6, Amherst has the lead. Lawrence Nelson getting their first down of the game on that drive, picking up four first downs and taking it all the way into the end zone on the three-yard touchdown run by Dylan Mankey. The big play, they converted a fourth down, plus Dan Shore hits his first completed pass of the ball game for 23 yards. That gave him first and goal at the two-yard line. So, ready to boot it away, Lawrence Nelson. This is for the first time because Amherst is going to get the ball to start the second half. Amherst, well, depending on what they took, wind or offense, so you never know on a night like this. But Lawrence Nelson is kicking off for the first time tonight. And the ball is a good end-over-end kick taken at the 5-yard line. And Klingelhofer up to the 10, the 15, room to the 20-yard line. Bounces off to the right side, and he is going to be thrown out of bounds near the 30-yard line. So a chance to maybe see what Amherst wants to do on a good return by Mason Klingelhofer, 50 yards away with 23 seconds and one timeout.
And most generally, I'd say get the thing to the shed where you can talk to him. But, you know, I'll be honest right here. It would not surprise me a bit to see Ron Evans try to get after him here and just get that touchdown right back, Doug.
Well, Mason Klingelhofer was wide open on a play earlier in this quarter. They did not convert. They will line up the I formation. Preble is your quarterback on first and 10. Quick snap. He's just going to keep it off the left side. He is going to be drugged down once he gets to the 33-yard line. Should be a good, safe play, a gain of about 4 yards there for Kale. And Amherst is going to use a timeout here and stop the clock with 12 seconds to go. This is rolling the dice. Sometimes you think the only thing that can happen here is bad because you got to go 46 yards on this 8-man field. Now you're out of timeout, so you've got two plays left at the most here. And if you had a big play here, it could be tough to get the clock stopped because you're going to have to run up and spike the ball.
Yeah, what I'd look to do here is I would look to run one big one down the field, Doug. They twice have run a pass play and had guys run down the field alone. I understand the situation's a little different where Lawrence Nelson will have people deep. If you have people deep, but you have speed, and Amherst has shown they have a little more speed in that defensive backfield than Lawrence Nelson, I think it's worth it to take one shot here.
Braden Neckout and Ty Hadwiger both out there. They line up in the tight eye formation with 12 seconds to go. Second down and 6. Tom and I'm the quarterback. The lefty drops back to pass. Pump fake, throws it as far as he can. He's got a man and overshoots. Braden Eckhout running down the Lawrence Nelson sideline at the 10-yard line. And just playing center field was Daniel Schwarr out there, Larry. He really never committed, even when that ball went in the air.
No, and that's what I'm saying. Actually, it was 7 seconds here, Doug. If he picks it, I understand you got to bring him to the ground, but it's the same as a punt. I actually run it again because Lawrence Nelson's going to stay in the same coverage, and speed just ran by the Lawrence Nelson defender there. You've got the athletes to run by him. I think you take one more shot here.
Well, looking at the defense that time, hook and lateral is going to get you to the end zone. So let's go all out here, Larry. Let's see what they do. Out of the tight end, now Dimmer in motion. He's sprinting towards the right sideline. Snap the ball. They're looking that way. Rolling that way. Tomahine throws it over the middle of the field. Hurtock catches it, but they do bring him down from behind. And that will be the end of the first half as the clock will run out. They get 10 yards on the play, but that will also bring us to the end of the first half. They were trying to spread it, get Hurtock up the middle of the football field. And a good job there to drag him down from behind. That's simply Lawrence Nelson staying where they're supposed to stay.
Yeah, they did a really nice job there. And probably the last guy that Amherst wanted to have the ball there was the rumbling, bumbling, stumbling fullback. But screen pass, give him a chance.
Well, your score is Amherst 12 and Lawrence Nelson 6. You're listening to High School Football on Classic Hits 98.9 and the World Wide Web at FlatRiverPreps.com. Plenty of football action going on tonight, and we'll talk more about the scores around the area, give you the first half stats, and a little recap of what we've seen here in the first half, and a little preview of what we expect to see in the second half. It is Amherst 12 and Lawrence Nelson 6. Coming up, the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report, right after this on Classic Hits.
Tucker's Lounge and Restaurant supports the Lawrence Nelson students and athletes. Work hard in the classroom and on the athletic fields. Tucker's Lounge and Restaurant serves a full food menu Wednesday through Saturday, including steak, fish, chicken, pork, and salad bar. Lunch is served, too. Tucker's Lounge and Restaurant is open Tuesday through Saturday from 11 a.m. until 1. Before or after the game, stop in and see Lyndon Floyd at Tucker's Lounge and Restaurant on Main Street in Nelson. Good luck, Raiders, from Tucker's Lounge and Restaurant.
Ravenna Sanitation provides the perfect solution for any solid containment requirement. From the old shingles off your roof to a remodeled job, Ravenna Sanitation delivers a roll-off box to your house or side of the project. You fill it up and they pick it up. No more making several trips back and forth to the dump. Rely on Ravenna Sanitation to take care of it for you. Ravenna Sanitation is the quality, dependable trash hauling service you've been looking for. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County.
Banks can be very similar in the services they offer, but it's the local decisions, local ownership, and friendly professional staff that makes the difference. That's what you can expect from the State Bank of Riverdale. We're proud of the relationships we've developed over the past 100 years and look forward to expanding this service to Kearney. Follow us on the web at riverdalebank.com. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
State Bank of Riverdale, banking hand in hand.
And welcome back, along with our producer-engineer, Stacey Johns, and Larry Baker. It's time for the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. Ravenna Sanitation says your trash is their treasure, serving Buffalo County for business or residential service. Ravenna Sanitation, your trash collection connection. Find them in your local Yellow Pages. At the half, it is Amherst 12 and Lawrence Nelson 6. And Larry, big football game. We talked about this. Even though Amherst is 5-2, they're 24th in the point standings here in Class D2. Lawrence Nelson is 19th, so you got to figure even if Lawrence Nelson doesn't come out on top here, they're in. But the bottom line is there's a difference between being in and there's a difference between having a chance to win a playoff game or two. And you got to figure whoever comes out on the short end of this one is going to have to pull a major upset. And by looking at the way they've played this year, they've beaten the teams on their schedule that are below 500, and then they've been trounced by the rated teams. So you don't want to be taking on a rated team because you just are too young right now on both teams. One senior starter in this football game.
And for these young guys, getting that ninth game is super important because it gives you that another week of practice, another week together, the experience having been in the playoffs. Well, one other piece to that, Doug, that you're exactly right on, is one of the things that you absolutely want to do is put yourself in a position where it's not just a playoff week, a pep rally, and a T-shirt, and then wrestling and basketball. You know, and to your point, that's what you'd be looking at. So both of these guys, there's a ton to play for here. Both of them are in the playoffs. But we can kind of see, we see the youth in both and how this thing has worked out. Lawrence Nelson is, with as many mistakes as they've made, they've left themselves in great shape here. So one possession game, they ride back to home a winner. So it'll be interesting to see how they can come out of the half.
Could also come down to conversions. Neither team has been able to get a two-point conversion into the end zone, and really none of them have been that close in this football game. So 12-6, Amherst with the lead in the football game. We were talking about it with the coaches, well, with Coach Evans kind of in the pregame, and we talked about it off-air, but this is the first time these teams have met in 11 years, and kind of some historic implications. 11 years, you're talking about these freshmen out here. They were trying to run around, find a cookie and a nap in the middle of the afternoon because they were in preschool. But that was a game that will live on in Amherst lore. It was the year after they made it to the state championship game. And then just the way the points worked out that year, you had two of the best teams, unfortunately, play into the first round. I think Amherst had got tripped up and was in a pretty tough district that year. And they went over to Lawrence Nelson, and they scored Lawrence Nelson on the final play of the game. And, of course, Lawrence Nelson says they were in the end zone. Amherst says they weren't in the end zone. But there is at least a little history here. And with the way the state scheduling goes, you play a team 2 years in a row, it would be hard to believe that Lawrence Nelson and Amherst would be in the same district much longer than that. But as Coach Blevin said, we're used to going east, and for the next 2 years, they're going west.
Yeah, and that is different. I think, Doug, as we talked about, you know, you talk about that game back in whatever 2001 or it was. I think Lawrence Nelson goes on to maybe play in Lincoln that year or won the state championship, you know. So when you coached on the sideline in a game like that, you come back, even it's all different kids. Like you said, heck, none of these kids, you know, some of them may have been elementary-ish, you know. It's a long time ago. But for you as a coach, that doesn't leave you. So there's no question that there's some added things here. And it is odd. You know, you talk about that Lawrence Nelson isn't a school that we've ever really seen come west. And now they've spent the whole season here, and they will again next year as far as that goes. So it has been a little odd.
We'll take a break, be back, look at some scores, give you some stats. At halftime, it's Amherst 12 and Lawrence Nelson 6 on Classic Hits.
The most recommended.
Fall brings a dramatic increase in deer activity. Hi, I'm Doug Keller, owner of Eustace Body Shop.
Last fall, I hit a deer just south of town, and it scared me to death. I called Eustace Body Shop for a tow, and from that point on, I had no reason to worry.
We sincerely hope a collision with a deer never happens to you. But if it does, remember that our 5 locations in central Nebraska can bring you back to factory specs faster. Eustace Body Shop, where we take the dent out of accident.
Effort isn't always the difference. Maybe it's a matter of inches. Let's do it second. Feeling the comfort and confidence in your sports equipment. Coming soon, TM Sporting Goods. New to downtown Kearney. Home of Brooks, Mizuno, Asics, Russell Athletic, Wilson Sporting Goods, and Diamond Sports. Along with Under Armour. And featuring experienced pros like Steve Barinol and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods. Coming soon on the bricks at 2217 Central. TM Sporting Goods. The division of Pro Team Design.
And welcome back to high school football on Classic Hits 98.9, the World Wide Web at PlatteRiverPreps.com. Let's run down some of the first half stats of our football game, starting with Lawrence Nelson. And again, most of this coming on their touchdown drive right before half because they had not had a first down until their last drive. Dylan Mankey, 11 carries, 23 yards, and the Lone Raider touchdown. Chase Ehlers, 2 carries for 3 yards. Wyatt Thayer, 6 carries for 21 yards. And Dan Schroer, sacked once. He has had 3 carries for negative 9 yards. That's 22 attempts for just 38 yards on the ground for Lawrence Nelson. And they did run one halfback pass in this football game. Ehlers, incomplete. And for Dan Schroer, he has put it up 3 times, completed 1 of them. 1 of 3 for 23 yards. No picks, no touchdowns. So 23 yards through the air, 38 on the ground, just 61 yards unofficially of offense in the first half for Lawrence Nelson, resulting in 4 first downs. They have not been penalized, but they did fumble it on back-to-back possessions. One of them was at their own 1-yard line on a reverse that blew up, and they lost about 9 yards on it and fumbled the ball back to the 1-yard line.
And then the second one was also at their own 18, but they were able to keep Amherst out of the end zone that time around. They punted the ball three times for an average of 28 yards. Lawrence Nelson's lone score after a 23-yard pass down to the 2-yard line set up first and goal. Attilan Mankey, a couple of plays later, took it in from 3 yards out with 31 seconds to go here in the first half. And that's Lawrence Nelson's offensive numbers here at halftime. We'll take a break and look at the numbers for Amherst right after this on the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report.
America's farmers feed the world. That's why your CHS Service Center provides producers like these with market access and insights for their success.
Well, they stay on top of the market. They really look out for us.
They watch world activity so we can make informed decisions.
We get daily emails and text alerts from our co-op. They're able to take our grain when we need to move it.
Get connected to a CHS Service Center near you. Resources for enriching lives, CHS.
Builders knows that you'd rather spend time enjoying your home rather than constantly repairing it. That's why they offer only the highest quality products from the best-known suppliers like Anderson Windows and DeWalt Power Tools. Builders also knows that price matters. That's why they back everything with a guaranteed price match. Find the exact same item anywhere else with a lower price, Builders will match it. Get the best products at the best price. Builders in Kearney and Grand Island.
Builders does the best.
Welcome back to the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. Let's take a look at some numbers now for the Amherst Broncos. I've got Devin Dibbern, 7 carries, 6 yards, and a touchdown. Stuart Hurcock, 9 carries, 35 yards, and a touchdown. Cale Preble, the quarterback, 3 carries for 6 yards. Trey Tobenheim, who also switches into quarterback, 2 carries for 5 yards. 21 rushing attempts for 52 yards here in the first half for Amherst. They actually have a little bit more through the air, although the freshman Trey Tobenheim, 0-3 through the air. Cale Preble, the starting quarterback, has put it up 5 times. He's completed 4 of those, and the other one should have been complete. Mason Klingelhoffer, or I guess that was Tobenheim that threw the one that Klingelhoffer dropped, but 4-5 for 62 yards through the air and 52 on the ground. That's 114 yards for 7 first downs for Amherst. They have not turned it over. 3 penalties for 15 yards, 2 punts for an average of 34 yards. The 2 scores for Amherst came on back-to-back possessions. An 8-yard run by Stuart Hurcock with 3:51 to go in the first quarter, completed a 63-yard drive, and the 2-point run was no good, made it 6-0, and that's how the first quarter ended. Then on the next possession, they recovered the fumble at the 1-yard line, and it did take 3 plays to get it in, but Devin Dibbern took it in from 1 yard out. 10:01 to go in the first half. The 2-point conversion pass, no good. Amherst was up 12-0, and then Lawrence Nelson scored with 31 seconds to go here to cut it to 12-6. And that is your halftime score here at Amherst. We'll also have a chance to take a look at some other scores from around the area. And we'll do that after this timeout on the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report.
I asked my husband if I can join his fantasy league this year. He just laughed. Little did he know, I've been going to Cunningham's Journal for lunch every week. The perfect place for sports fans like myself to keep up with my favorite teams, and not to mention the food is so good. Anyway, a fantasy spot opened up, and guess who's laughing now? And winning. If you're an ultimate sports fan, enjoy a good lunch, a drink with friends, and live entertainment. The place to be is Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
Can't seem to find the right school, car, truck, or SUV you've been looking for? See the professionals at Killian Motors. They may not have it on the lot, but they can find it for you. Trust Killian's to keep your current car running longer by bringing it in for routine service. Oil changes every 3 months or 3,000 miles, and regular maintenance can keep your car running better and longer. You're heading in the right direction for service, savings, and selection. Killian Motors, where people come back time after time since 1979, 8th and Central, Kearney.
Welcome back to high school football here on Classic Hits 98.9 at FlatRiverPreps.com. Doug Doodle, Larry Baker at halftime at Amherst 12, Lawrence Nelson 6. At halftime, Kearney Catholic in their closest game of the season at halftime. They only lead Gothenburg 6-0, and that game currently airing on ESPN 1460. Also in C1, a top 10 battle, Boone Central 34. Grand Island Central Catholic nothing at the half. In C2, Donovan Trumbull 34, Ravenna nothing at the half. They're playing without most of their quarterback tonight. Have to go to the backups. Ziskowski really limits what they can do tonight. Donovan Trumbull has been red hot. Bear Central 14, Hastings St. Cecilia 12 at halftime. St. Cecilia in danger of going 4-4. Sutton 28, Superior nothing in the second quarter. Loop City leads Ansley Litchfield 15-6 at the half. Again, if you've got some scores outside of those, we'd love to hear from you. All you have to do is text or leave a voicemail on the Valentino's hotline, 308-646-0506. 308-646-0506. And we'd love to get the scores from you. Tomorrow night, we will be in Gibbon as the Buffaloes, 5-2, take on 2-5 Central City. But this is one of those instances where Central City and Gibbon have played a couple of tough teams in Adams Central and Central Catholic. But overall, Central City's schedule way tougher than what Gibbon has this year. And that's not to overshadow what the Buffaloes have done. But they've got Eli Van Meter that's ready to eat up some more yards on the ground tomorrow against the Central City team that must win to get in. And Coach Mark McLaughlin says, I think we're in, but that doesn't mean that we are assured to get in. He goes, if a couple of wacky things happen and we get beat, there's no guarantee. So that's tomorrow night, pregame at 6:30, kickoff at 7 from Gibbon. Also tonight, tomorrow night in Class C, Adams Central will be at St. Paul. Ainsworth is at Broken Bow. Fillmore Central will be at Sandy Creek. Blue Hill will be at Wood River. In 8-man action tomorrow, Axtell is at Kennesaw. Franklin's at McCool Junction. Red Cloud is at Heartland. Twin Loop is at South Loop. Cedar Valley will be at Kiltner. Heartland Lutheran will be at Spalding Academy. And the big 6-man game tomorrow, the number 1 and 2 teams in the state, Silver Lake, goes to Juanita Palisade. Could be a preview of the two teams that will be playing in the 6-man championship at Foster Field later this season. Class A and B tomorrow, Kearney High will be out at North Platte, and the prohibitive favorite in that ball game to go to 8-1. Kearney could be as high as the number 2 seed when they get into the Class A playoffs, which is big. You get as many home games as you can and make the Metro and Lincoln schools travel. Grand Island will be at Lincoln High. Grand Island needs a win to assure themselves a spot in the Class A field. Hastings is at Holdridge tomorrow. Columbus is at Grand Island Northwest. Aurora at York for the district title. Who would have thought that? York 5-3, Larry. We talk all about the great job that Ron Snodgrass has done there. But they have to win to get in, which is very strange when you have a 70% of the Class B field get in. And at 5-3, even with a couple of nice wins, they still need to win tomorrow to get in.
Yeah, and that's tough. You know, I mean, we used to see that a lot back in the early 90s and mid-90s. But since this thing has changed, most generally, if you put a decent little season together, you're going to get in. This is one of those anomalies where they won't. And I really hope they get in, Doug, for this reason. Coach Snodgrass has done a great job with a program that was really in trouble. That program, they weren't winning games. They weren't getting kids out. Coach Snodgrass goes in just a couple of years, he's got that program to where they're very competitive. They're winning games. And it would be great to see them get a little bit of a payoff and get into the playoffs.
Well, it's one of those weird nights of football. Also tomorrow, McCook's at Lexington, and Columbus will be at Grand Island Northwest. You've been listening to the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report for quality, dependable trash hauling service for your farm, home, or business. Contact the professionals at Ravenna Sanitation. Halftime, it's Amherst 12 and Lawrence Nelson 6. Second half action comes your way in a minute on Classic Hits.
Congratulations, you've won $1 million from Publishers
Look. Move out of the way. Is that a Valentino's delivery truck going down the street? I didn't know they delivered. Hey, guys, Valentino's delivers.
It's the next best thing to enjoying Valentino's famous Grand Italian Buffet. Now delivery of pizza, pasta, and salads. Just a call away, 308-233-3888. That's 233-3888. Better than $1 million? Depends on how hungry you are.
Hey, didn't you hear me?
Valentino's of Kearney now delivers.
Misco Sports Incorporated wants you to see them before the games begin. They've kept your schools geared up for decades, and they'll do so for many seasons to come. Get your game on at Misco's now. With a storefront in Ord, they're just a phone call away to help you get better equipped for the games you play this year on the court or on the field. Or whether you need to suit up for that next play or show your team pride, Misco's has everything you'll need in the stands as well. A proud supporter of all the area youth and supporters of high school athletics, Misco Sports.
Doug Duda, Larry Baker back with you here at Amherst, where we are just about ready for the second half of football to begin. Amherst 12 and Lawrence Nelson 6. And it was key for Lawrence Nelson to finally get something going on that last drive. A whole different feeling coming out, you would have to think, wouldn't you, Larry, to start this third quarter, even though they're going to, I assume, kick it off.
Yeah, no question. Like we talked about, Doug,
right there at the end of the half. Lawrence Nelson really was thoroughly outplayed through that entire first half, but they found a way to, when they've made the really big mistake, they found a way to bow their neck at the right times. 12-6, you're talking about a game that's a one-score game here. If they can make the right adjustments and come out and really lean on Amherst, maybe turn them over right away, get a big stop, they're in this ball game.
And Lawrence Nelson, because we weren't perfectly sure how that coin flip went to start the football game, but Lawrence Nelson will line up to kick it away here. Amherst had a nice return the only other time that they had the football, and Austin Mazur will line it up to kick it away here for Lawrence Nelson. A Klingelhofer, one of the two back there along with Divern, and the kick is away. A little squibber taking about the 15-yard line. This time it's Divern, room up the middle, 20, bounces off a man to the 25, and he's going to bring it all the way out to the 30-yard line. So good field position for Amherst as they've been able to return a couple of kicks both out to the 30-yard line.
Yeah, that gives you a great field position, and you see right away the freshman quarterback coming out, Tobenheim for Amherst. My guess is that's due to the good field position. You know, they've kind of worked them both in through the game. You don't want him, granted the other guy's only a sophomore, but you don't want him backed up with his back against the wall.
So first down and 10 out of the tight end formation here. They will send Divert out of in motion. That leaves Hercock the only man on the backfield. And Tobenheim, the quarterback, back to pass, throws it out here in the flat, complete to Divert, makes a man miss. Now it's one-on-one, 30-25, and brought down at the 22-yard line by the safety, Daniel Schroer. They wanted to try that the whole first half, and it looks like we might also have a face mask to go along with it. There is a penalty flag on the tackle.
Yeah, the route, Doug, was a simple 2-3 hitch. Just a zero route. And that's a tough spot there. The DB for Lawrence Nelson was just playing so far off.
And it is a face mask penalty on Lawrence Nelson. That's their first of the ball game, not how they had hoped to start the second half.
Now, this is a crusher if Amherst can get this thing stuck in the end zone here, Doug, because now it becomes, you know, it's different. When you're a young team, it's very easy to stay into things when it's, you know, one play can put us in the lead. Now one play just puts us back to where we were. This could be a crusher for Lawrence Nelson.
It's a 5-yard face mask penalty. Moves it to the 18-yard line after the 26-yard completion. The first for Tobenheim. They hand it to Devin Divert off the right side. He'll get inside the 15-yard line down to the 14 and a gain of 4 more for Devin, who was limited to less than 10 yards carrying the ball even though he had a touchdown in the first half.
Yeah, Devin looked good there. He turned his legs, looked tough. The one thing I think about a lot of these Amherst guys, they're going to get better as time goes on here. They are fighters and tough, scrappy guys, so it will be interesting to see how that goes.
Sat down at the 6 at the 14-yard line. Tobenheim, pitch play, left side, looking to make some people miss. It's going to be Devert in a good open field. Tackle by Dan Shore. Got maybe a yard out to the 13.
And there's going to be a penalty on Amherst, Doug, and it's going to back him up. This is what we talked about a little bit just a minute ago. Lawrence Nelson comes out, makes the big mistake on first down to start the half, but now when their back is against the wall, they've kind of bowed their necks here. You're going to get holding on Amherst. This is going to leave you probably second and 15-ish.
Well, that is the first 10-yard or more than the 5-yard penalty of the football game on either team, and it'll back them up to the 24-yard line, and make it second down, and as you said, about 15 yards to go. Preble, the quarterback, fakes the handoff, now keeps it himself on the left side, has a hole, 20, 15, and a good gain. Got back all the yardage, basically, that they were just penalized, and that'll bring you third and manageable here at the 15-yard line, a gain of 9.
Yeah, and Doug, what they're doing there, that's just, I mean, he's a big quarterback, Preble is, and what they're doing there is they're running like a belly option look, say, to the even side, and then he just cuts it back to quarterback counter. He's cutting it back into the odd hole, into the one hole, and running from there.
And of course, you've got two cracks and here with the way the weather is tonight. Third, and they'll call it 6. Back to pass. Tobenheim has time, throws it out here in the flat, and it is dropped out at the 7-yard line, trying to get it into the hands of Braden Eckhout. Larry, talk a little bit. It's not always the receiver. That ball is fluttering out there. It's just tough to catch the ball. That's not only tough to throw it, it's tough to catch it on a night like this.
That's actually the toughest thing. The biggest misconception is that you can't throw the ball in the wind because of what the wind will push the ball or, you know, overthrow it, underthrow it. The ball knuckles terribly in heavy wind like this. And if anybody's ever watched a knuckleballer pitch in a baseball game, it becomes impossible to catch or hit the ball.
Well, now both men move, and they'll have to blow the play dead here. They actually waited for the snap of the the ball as both the running backs, Dibbard and Hurcock, took off. They were confused about who was to be in motion, so that backs them up another 5 yards. It'll be fourth and 12 at the 20.
And they actually, on that motion on Dibbard in the first half, they could have called him for illegal motion several times. As he's heading out into that motion, he's starting to the line of scrimmage too soon. That's not necessarily what happened there, but Dibbard could have been called in the first half several times for that illegal motion, and they didn't call it. What you have a lot of times in that situation is, say, the opposing coach go talk to the official and say, hey, the guy's moving before the snap.
Well, now you got to throw the ball fourth and 12 at the 20. Toppenheim, the quarterback, man in motion, rolls that way, looks for Hurcock, and it is going to be incomplete, just a tad bit underthrown at the 10-yard line. And Lawrence Nelson giving him too much of a cushion there, Larry. Hurcock catches that. He's only got to dive forward about another yard, but they get away with the underthrown ball, and Lawrence Nelson will take over at their own 20.
Yeah, if they'd have hit him in stride, it would have been a first down, but if he catches it falling where he did, I still don't think that would have been a first down. But had the quarterback thrown the ball right out of the receiver's break, right out of Hurcock's break, he would have caught that in stride, because like you said, they didn't rotate to him motioning it from the fullback position for quite a while.
So Lawrence Nelson takes over 2 minutes into the third quarter. They are trailing 12-6. High direct snap that time, gets it into the hands of Dylan Menke, who weaves his way to the left side for minimal yardage from the 20 out to the 22.
Yeah, Lawrence Nelson gets in a little three-back pistol set there. There's maybe one of the things, changes that they've made here at halftime. But Doug, we see it here again. Lawrence Nelson really had their back against the wall there. If they give up that score, they really could have been in trouble. And like they've done the entire game, they've bowed their necks, and now they've got the ball about second and eight, second and nine out of that pistol set again.
So three men in the backfield, as you said, with the shotgun pistol. High snap through Mankey's hands, but it takes a good bounce to him. He gets hit, and he fights back forward for a couple of yards. Took a very gracious Raider bounce, because he turned around and just bounced right back into his hands, but Amherst swarms him under for a big loss. They're going to mark it all the way back at the 14-yard line. That's going to be a loss of about eight.
And this is the tough spot about that. They don't have their quarterback. You know, they're not really trying to do that with him there. That wasn't a bad snap. That thing was right about his face mask. You got to catch the snap. I mean, that's going to go against the center. All the parents and the fans are going to think that the snap's bad. Quarterback's got
to
catch it.
He's looking to see where he's going to run. This time Shore will take the snap, set up a screen, play to Ehlers on the right side. He's got room, 20, 25, 30. This is just about who's going to finally get the angle on him. He's across midfield to the 30, to the Amherst 20, all the way down inside the 15 to the 14. But there is some penalty. There is a penalty way downfield. It's one of those penalties where it'll be a first down, but may cut them down about 25 yards.
Yeah, I think, Doug, you're going to get a block in the back there. One of those receivers that had got downfield, some of the Amherst guys had wheeled to start to chase the tackle.
That's going to go as a 33-yard completion, and then you will get the penalty yardage on the back end of that. The penalty flag laying at the 33, so the ball will be marked back into Lawrence Nelson territory at the 37-yard line on the 10-yard penalty.
Yeah, that's a tough, tough break there, Doug. Now, I mean, you get a first down. It was a nice job, but you've been waiting to call that screen all night. You felt like you had a chance for it to work. You finally call it there, and you get the thing all the way down and call it back on a penalty.
They're going to get 23 yards on the play, but it should have been down at the 14, so it's about 30 yards that they're not going to get. And it's first and 10 at their own 36. 12-6 Amherst, 8:25 to go here in the third quarter of play. Back to the I formation. Shore under center, gives it off to Menke on the left side. A little bit of a hole before he's met, and then just de-cleaned at midfield. One of those where he was wrapped up around the legs, and that left a freaky shot there for the linebacker.
Yeah, I think that was Rasmussen that actually held him up, and then Devin Dibbern came in and tried to dismember him, just absolutely powdered him there. But initially, there was room there. Amherst has got to squeeze that and not let them get that 4 to 6 yard first down run.
Gain of 3, second down and 7, just short of midfield. I formation, Shore looks him over. Long count, he'll take it and hand it off over the left side. That's Wyatt Thayer, who gets just enough to get into Amherst territory. Gain of 2 for Thayer. Larry, I want to ask you, Lawrence Nelson came out in a whole different offensive package to start the game, a whole different offensive package on their first possession of the second half, but everything else has pretty much been tied up. I know wideouts and know why they change. That worked this last time.
Yeah, you've got a situation here where, you know, sometimes as a coach your mind races. You know, they struggled in the first half. They came out in a little different look and have had some success. Now they've gone right back to what wasn't working. And the penalty, you know, you lose 30 yards on that play. And sometimes that affects you.
Third and five at the Amherst 39-yard line. Shore turns and talks to his running backs here as they bring him up with the line of scrimmage. Oh, broken play. He's got to keep it. He's going to have a big game. 30, 20, man to beat. Steps out of a tackle at the 15. Stiff arm, 10, 5, touchdown. Lawrence Nelson on a broken play.
I'm just going to tell you, Doug, there's a deal where somebody's living right. He turned to hand the ball off to the right side. One back goes right, one back goes left. There's no back. He literally just put the ball on his belt and was just did what he was probably coached to do, get what you can get, and then he steps out of several tackles. This is what we're talking about. Now we're tied, and we're a first extra point away from the leader in this game changing. It's what we were talking about. Lawrence Nelson just needed to keep it to one score.
Dan with the run. Now they line up to go for the two-point conversion. Still very windy, as you can hear. Turn handed off right side. Room to get in there. The conversion is good for Mankey. And with 6:47 to go in the third quarter, Lawrence Nelson takes their first lead over Amherst, 14-12. We'll be back in a minute.
Helpful people, dependable products, and the ones you can count on. Fast Fills Plaza on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Fill your tank with Cenex gasoline and fill your tummy with all your favorite munchies at Fast Fills. They're also your Husker and Storm headquarters with a great selection of Tri-City Storm and Nebraska Husker apparel. You're sure to find your favorite style shirts, hats, gloves, and more. Your Cenex station with pay at the pump option. All at Fast Fills Plaza, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Builders knows that you'd rather spend time enjoying your home rather than constantly repairing it. That's why they offer only the highest quality products from the best-known suppliers like Anderson Windows and DeWalt Power Tools. Builders also knows that price matters. That's why they back everything with a guaranteed price match. Find the exact same item anywhere else with a lower price, Builders will match it. Get the best products at the best price. Builders in Kearney and Grand Island.
Builders does the best.
Soon fortunes change. Amherst really dominated the first half, and now 6:47 to go third quarter. They find themselves behind 14-12. One of the main reasons, the almighty extra point.
Yeah, Doug, we talked about it from the start. You know, when we saw Amherst not kick one, you know, two touchdowns to two touchdowns right now. The problem is Amherst is down by two.
And the kick is away. Amherst will take it at the four-yard line. Clay will hop up the middle of the field. 10-15 hasn't been touched. 20-25 penalty flag. Right where he's brought down, a penalty flag thrown, and you know that that's going to be on Amherst and will pin them fairly deep in their own territory.
You know, we'll see. We talked about both teams being young here, Doug. Amherst completely controlled that first half, and they felt very good about themselves, I'm sure. Here they trail in the game now, 6:41 left in the third. They trail by two. Do they tighten up now, their young players, and start to make those mistakes that can turn the tide of this thing?
It will be a holding penalty. We had three penalties on Amherst in the first half and none on Lawrence Nelson. We have played not even half of the third quarter, three more penalties on Amherst and two on Lawrence Nelson. So you got to wonder, all of a sudden, how things changed out there that dramatically. First down at 10, they'll be at their own 19-yard line, continuing to motion man out of the backfield. It's Tibbern. And they'll go with an inside handoff. They give it to the slot man who brings it around the right side and didn't get much to the 20-yard line. And let's see if that was Eckout or Hadwiger over there. And it's going to be Braden Eckout for a yard.
Yeah, not much room there, Doug, but if I'm Amherst, I try to just pound the ball here a little bit. I don't try to get too crazy. Pound the ball. I think that they can move this very small and young defensive line of Lawrence Nelson.
Trey Tollenheim, the quarterback, he is going to hand it off over the right side. Good burst of energy. Brings it out to near the 25-yard line before being stacked up at Stuart Hurcock. And you know that that's where Lawrence Nelson is concentrating their defensive run stop.
Yeah, you've got yourself third and manageable right here. You're third and a long three, just about third and four. And the entire playbook's open for you here, Doug. I think you can do just about anything you want here.
So So third and three at their own 26. It's Lawrence Nelson 14, Amherst 12, 5.5 to go in the third quarter of play. And you got to wonder, as they motion out of the backfield and get flagged again, is it something the officials talked about, or were the coaches in their ear at halftime on both sides?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I obviously have no idea which one, Doug, but it's absolutely somebody's, whether it was Coach Blevins went over and said, look, this is what's happening, or did the officials get together and talk about it? But you had both Kevin and Hurcock doing it the entire first half with no penalties, and now they're calling it very consistently in the second half.
Doug Duna, Larry Baker with you on KKPR-FM. Kearney, Amherst, and Overton, glad to be with you here tonight. Third down at 8, and the fullback now comes in motion. Hurcock, top and high, back to pass, gets to the tight end. Eckhout's got on the slant. He's got a first down. He's up headed across the 30 at the 32, 33-yard line. Nice, easy play, and Tallenheim put it right where he was supposed to.
Yeah, and actually on that play there, again, we see Hurcock motion out of his fullback spot coming out to the near side. And what he's doing there, Stuart Hurcock's a pretty aggressive guy anyway. When he could have been flagged there again, when he's starting his motion, it's almost a simulation of a snap. So maybe more just due to his personality.
First and 10 at their own 33, 5 minutes to go. They'll go with a little counter play. Gibbern across the 35 to the 36. No, it's going to be the quarterback, Preble, keeping the football over the left side. And he's going to pick up 3 yards. It'll be second down and 7 yards to go. Preble has carried the ball a few times tonight, 5 carries for 18 yards. He's also 4 of 5 through the air, although they've had Tobenheim throw the ball when he's been in there 4 times in this quarter, Preble none. And now Tobenheim will pitch it to the right side to Dibbert. Not much running room, trying to stretch it out and get to the corner and get what he can, and he's going to get about a yard. Good job by Devin Dibbert just to get what he could on that play.
Yeah, and in this situation, you don't want, if a play's not going well, Doug, you don't want to make bad worse if you can. You need to keep yourself going. You're behind in the game, and every single play is going to count here.
We'll take a look at some of the scores from around the area here in just a moment. 4 minutes to go now in the third quarter, 14-12. Lawrence Nelson, Amherst trying to answer back. And they're going to run that inside trap play, and there is nothing there. Lawrence Nelson sniffs that out and drives different backwards. And it's going to be fourth down in a punting situation. Maybe even lost a yard.
Yeah, and I think you have to punt the ball here. It wouldn't surprise me to see Coach Evans go for it here, but it makes sense to punt the ball and play defense. Your defense is still played really well, Doug. It's one busted play here is why you're behind in the game.
Braden Eckhout to punt. He punted twice in the first quarter, but they were going the other way. Now let's see what he can do. The ball is at the 38-yard line, and the kick is a beauty. High, deep kick, and it's fielded at the 4, right near the sidelines, bringing it up to the 10-yard line. Leighton Lick is Stephen Kavanaugh. That was a great punt that time, and will pin Lawrence Nelson back at the 11-yard line.
And here's one of the tough parts, Doug, about what you do if you're Lawrence Nelson. On that last drive, they had the one big play on the screen, right? But what they scored on and so on was a broken play. So it's not like they have a whole bunch of plays here. But this is what really got us going. You've just got to keep digging it out here.
Yeah, Schwarr looked like he audibled at the line, and he turned to hand it off, put it at the belly of his running back, and there was nobody there, so he just took off up the middle and scored. Now Schwarr hands it off. Tough one there for Mankey. Barely had it. Now he strips it, and now he's gone. Dylan Mankey is going to go all the way, 70 yards. Last two plays have been touchdowns for Lawrence Nelson, and now they're on command 20-12, and if they get the conversion, they'll be up 2 scores. Wow, what are you seeing there, Larry? They have read something on what Amherst is doing defensively, and they've made him pay for it. That was not a broken play.
No, it wasn't. It was the exact same power play that they've ran into the BNC gap all night, and Amherst has played well. And truthfully, the difference there was just poor tackling. We talked about it in the first quarter where Amherst was trying to come up and make some hero shots and not wrapping guys up, and that's what we saw there. We saw arm tackles, and he just ran through them.
It looked like he about dropped the handoff. It came down on his hip, and once he was able to handle it, he was able to break the tackles and score. Now the 2-point conversion, hand it off on the left side. They go to Thayer, and Thayer does not get in. So it's still a one-possession game. with a two-point conversion. 2:53 to go in the third quarter. It's now the Lawrence Nelson Raiders 20 and Amherst 12. You're listening to High School Football on Classic Hits.
Congratulations, you've won $1 million from Publishers Clicks.
Move out of the way. Is that a Valentino's delivery truck going down the street? I didn't know they delivered. Hey, guys, Valentino's delivers.
It's the next best thing to enjoying Valentino's famous Grand Italian Buffet. Now delivery of pizza, pasta, and salads. Just a call away, 308-233-3888. That's 233-3888. Better than $1 million? Depends on how hungry you are.
Hey, didn't you hear me?
Valentino's at Kearney now delivers.
Well, it's not just high school football that's going on tonight. You've got NFL football action. 5:50 to go in the first half. Seattle 6, San Francisco 3. Thursday night NFL action. Major League Baseball action earlier today. Detroit completed a sweep of a hapless Yankee team who looked like they didn't want to be there today. 8-1 Detroit. They're on to the World Series. And in the bottom of the fifth, St. Louis leads San Francisco 2-1. The Cardinals are up 2-1 in that series. And as we await the kickoff, I'll give you some high school scores as well in just a moment. Kick is away, fairly short, taken by Klinghoffer about the 8 up the middle, 10, 15, weaves his way and then gets tackled from behind as he gets across the 20-yard line. And they'll mark him at about the 25. And that's where things will start here. First down and 10 for the Amherst Broncos. Kearney Catholic still leading Gothenburg 6-0 in the third quarter. It is Boone Central over Central Catholic 34-0 in the third. Southern Valley and Centura 12-12 in the third. Now first down and 10 with Dimmert in motion. Here for Amherst. Long count, Tomenheim. Back to pass. Has all day. Rolls to his left. Now rolls to his right. He's going to take off and run. Has a little bit of room. Now he stops. Throws back against Dimmert. Got it. At the 40, breaks the tackle. 35. Right sideline, 30. Devin Dimmert to the 20. Devin Dimmert to the end zone. But there is a penalty flag. A penalty flag. And I think Trey Tomenheim was beyond the line of scrimmage when he let it go. And no touchdown, Larry. A lot of excitement, but everybody knows it.
Yeah, he just scrambled too much there, young guy, but great throw. I mean, it was actually a great play. He just was beyond the line of scrimmage. He scrambled and took off. He actually, Doug, when he pivoted the last time to go to the far side, he had the ball put away, had 5 points pressure on it. Looked like he was going to run it, and at the last second changed his mind and just happened to be about a yard too far upfield.
I can't run your phone. Well, that'll back him up 5 yards. Some other scores, Donovan Trumbull all over Ravetta, who's beat up 40-0 in the third. Also in the third, Thayer Central leads St. Cecilia 14-12. Loop City leading Ansley Litchfield 15-6 in the third quarter of play. Here it's 20-12 Lawrence Nelson. That is a 5-yard penalty on the illegal forward pass, bringing up 2nd and 13. Preble's going to keep it on a naked bootleg around the right side, and he is wrapped up. Lawrence Nelson is right there. They're making the tackles. We probably haven't talked about it enough due to some of our conditions here tonight on our broadcast. But Josh Himmelberg is there. And, Larry, Lawrence Nelson's defense has continued to get better tonight.
Yeah, they've played very, very well. Their linebackers have played well. And they're getting good run fits, Doug. And they're playing kind of a safety defense with a safety. And they're just doing a great job.
It's 3rd and long, and a bomb down the field by Tomenheim overthrows Brave Netcow, who was not open that time. On the coverage is Daniel Schwarr. And I think Amherst has run through their whole book of pass plays here, at least out of the quarterback position. Lawrence Nelson's starting to figure it out. It's going to be 3rd down and 10 or 4th down and 10. It should be 4th down and 10, I believe. And, yeah, that's what they'll do, even though that's not what the scoreboard says. So 4th down and 10, they'll line up to pump the ball from their own 27-yard line. Here comes a rush from the outside. The kick is away, though. By Eckhout, good kick, and they'll let it go, and it is going to die inside the 5, the 2, the 1. It's going to die at the 1. It's going to die at the 1, a 52-yard punt. But again, last time they were at the 10 and scored on one play, so now it's up to the Amherst defense.
Yeah, that thing is literally at the 1-inch line, Doug. There's no question. And Lawrence Nelson, the only hay they've made tonight, they've made coming out of this end zone. But I will say this, Amherst right here, they've had a tremendous amount of success tonight sending Mason Klingelhofer on A-gap fires. And if they do that here,
I think Mason maybe can score 2 points here for the Broncos.
At the one-yard line, let's see what Amherst can do defensively now against Lawrence Nelson out of the power line. So it could be a quarterback sneak this time, and pretty good sneak. He's going to get a couple 3 yards and pile it on afterwards. Let's see where they will officially mark this, close to the five-yard line. Just a quarterback sneak there for Dan Schwarr, who got a 39-yard touchdown run, and now we've got an injured player on the field for the first time tonight for Amherst, and that is going to be Rasmussen out there. He just got rolled up on the bottom of that pile. It was a simple quarterback sneak, and he got rolled up on there, Larry.
Yeah, that turned into a huge pile. He's got a big cast on his hands. Maybe it's his hand is what's hurting him, but, you know, on that quarterback sneak, smart there, Doug. Don't turn, especially when you're young, don't turn and try to hand the ball off and have, like, one of those fire blitzes that I talked about ruin your night. It wouldn't surprise me to see another one here.
Oh, you got to love the hometown crowd here. It is 20-12. I've been told that one of the coaches is a veterinarian, so they've got a doctor on the field. But I also know that trainer Scott Kratzer is on hand, and he's going to take care of the problem out there at the five-yard line. 1:28 to go here in the third quarter, and it's been 20 unanswered points by Lawrence Nelson. The Raiders lead Amherst 20-12. It'll be second down and six at their own five when we come back on Classic Hits.
Misco Sports Incorporated wants you to see them before the games begin. They've kept your schools geared up for decades, and they'll do so for many seasons to come. Get your game on at Misco's now. With a storefront at Ord, they're just a phone call away to help you get better equipped for the games you play this year, on the court or on the field, or whether you need to suit up for that next play or show your team pride, Misco's has everything you'll need in the stands as well. A proud supporter of all the area youth and supporters of high school athletics, Misco Sports.
Well, they will bring him off the football field right here. The injury to Chris Rasmussen, and he looks like he just aggravated the already injury that he had there, Larry, with that big cast on the thumb, and maybe injured his arm up a little bit more. Yeah, when he came off, it looked awful painful. He's played well tonight with that cast on, Doug, but back to the business at hand. Amherst needs to bow their neck, make something happen here. Down by one score, and you've got Lawrence Nelson pinned up against their own end zone. 20-12, Lawrence Nelson, but they're at their own five. Second down and six, out of the I formation again. Schwarr takes it. He's going to hand it off over the right side, and then after a hole opened up, it closed quickly. A couple of yards that time, but there, and oh, excuse me, it was not there that time. It was Mankey that carried the football. Good job there by Amherst to close it up. Their linebackers and corners are getting in there. Yeah, and there, Doug, we saw it again, Stuart Hurcock come. He wasn't who made the initial contact, but they're doing a great job rally tackling. Once somebody holds them up, the entire team gets there. And if you're just joining us, one senior starter for these teams combined. There's the hard count again, and we get a late flag. Amherst is jumping on first count, and if they are offsides again, it will be a first down. This happened earlier in the football game. I think this is going to go the other way, though. there was a little disappointment there. Amherst thought it was going against them, but it's not, and it'll be a four-yard penalty. Yeah, right. Lawrence Nelson came out and did the old Dallas Cowboys up and down the offensive line, and when you don't do that on every play, right there, the white hat is actually in the huddle explaining it to them. If you do that on every single play, you'll be okay. But when you come out and do that just out of the blue, they're going to call you for simulating the snap. So, third down, call it nine. The ball will be back at about the four-yard line. It is 20-12, Lawrence Nelson. They scored on the final series with 30 seconds to go in the second quarter after they were down 12-0, and then they have scored here on two series on two big plays. They had a third and five at midfield that was a busted play. The quarterback in Schwarr turned one way to hand it off. There was nobody there, so he just kind of started up the field, and before you knew it, he broke two tackles. There was no safety, and he scored from 39 yards out. And then on the very next possession, a 70-yard touchdown run from Dylan Mankey, busting tackles and going pretty much unmolested the last 50 yards to take the lead out to 20-12. We've only had one 2-point conversion out of the five touchdowns tonight, and that's why it's an 8-point lead.
Third down, 8 at the 3, their own 3. Lawrence Nelson going to keep it in the hands of Schwartz, trying to get to the outside, but he's not going to get to the outside. He stretches across the 5, fights for some extra yards, got quite a bit more than it looked like he was going to get, out to about the 9, but it'll be 4th down and a couple, and that'll be the final play of the third quarter. A pair of 5-2 teams trying to move up in the playoffs, Steve. It is Lawrence Nelson 12, Lawrence Nelson 20, Amherst 12. We'll be back with the fourth quarter in a minute.
Helpful people, dependable products, and the ones you can count on. Fast Fills Plaza on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Fill your tank with Cinex gasoline and fill your tummy with all your favorite munchies at Fast Fills. They're also your Husker and Storm headquarters with a great selection of Tri-City Storm and Nebraska Husker apparel. You're sure to find your favorite style shirts, hats, gloves, and more. Your Cinex station with pay at the pump option. All at Fast Fills Plaza, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Athletes come in all shapes and sizes, and Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine specializes in getting them all back in their game, from swinging a hammer to swinging a golf club, whether tackling daily tasks or tackling the running back. See Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine Clinic. If you're suffering from any injury that's putting you on the sidelines, make an appointment today and take comfort in our care. Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine.
And welcome back to high school football as we get ready for the punt by Lawrence Nelson out of their own end zone. A high kick, wind kind of eating it up, but a beauty that's going to pass to the 35 and take a huge Amherst pass and then die again at the 30. So this is only going to end up being about a 21-yard punt on that, Larry. Great field position for Amherst, but considering the wind, not too bad.
Yeah, if you're Lawrence Nelson, actually you're pretty happy about that. The ball just got down to your one-inch line. You got it out without giving up any points, and it sounds ridiculous to talk about giving up points on offense, but they were in a position there where they could have pretty easy. Punting out of your own end zone isn't easy to do. The punt wasn't very good. Amherst's going to get it in plus territory. They really had no offense from the second from the first quarter on. We'll see if they can get it going.
Trey Toppenheim, as they switch quarterbacks back and forth nearly every play, he'll take this first snap and send a new man out of the backfield as Hurcock is not in the backfield this time. They'll hand it to Dibbert off the right side, and there's nothing there. He is swallowed up immediately by Ehlers. The machine linebacker shoots through there, just a one-yard gain for Dibbert on the play. And number 34, Colton Burke, was lined up in the backfield that time.
Yeah, Doug, actually you've got a situation now where at least on that play, we'll see if they come out again with it. They've moved Hurcock into the offensive line. He's playing right guard, so they're going to try to get a push and run the ball here.
Sweep to Burke. Burke gets out of one tackle in the backfield, but here comes Schwarr to bring him down on the left flank at the line of scrimmage. His first carry of the football game. How does that change things, Larry?
Well, I think it changes things pretty dramatically. You've got a situation here where you just must not think you've got enough push up front. Normally, I like taking that big fullback, and I just making my offensive line leading on every play, but Coach Evans doesn't think that he's evidently getting the push he needs.
Well, now you've got a 3rd and 10 at the Lawrence Nelson 30. Toppenheim, the quarterback, sends Burke in motion to the right side. Dibbert stays back there to block. Backpedaling, pressure good. Pick up on a block by Dibbert, and the pass is out there, and it is complete for a first down, and dragging players inside the 10-yard line. First and goal into the hands of Cleo Hopper. First down and goal, but Dibbert picked up a huge block, or Toppenheim would have been flattened.
Yeah, really nice job there, Doug, picking the block. But I think the key is here for Amherst. I think I throw the ball here a little more. They've had no success running the ball, and they've had open receivers when they've been able to hit them all night.
Hurcock back in the backfield, stretch play right side. Dibbert steps out of a tackle to the 5, close to the goal line. He's fighting, and he is going to be pushed backwards at about the 3. The way he's been spinning out of blocks and spinning out of tackles, it looked like he was going to get in there. But he got half of what he needed. It'll be 2nd and goal at the 3, a gain of 4.
Yeah, this is interesting now where they've got Hurcock, you know, kind of going back and forth. Or Coach Evans is trying anything here. He's got a different quarterback in on every play. My fullback goes to guard. And he'll do whatever he's got to get done.
Well, he's kept Toppenheim in at quarterback this whole series. It's 2nd and goal. They split the backs at the 3-yard line. And it's going to be a quarterback keeper. Toppenheim spins to the left side. He stretches for the goal line, and he is going to be ruled short. It'll be 3rd and goal at the 1. Just a little reverse pivot option there. It was all him. There had to be a hole or he wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah, that was just a naked boot there, Doug. They sent everybody one way. He turned and acted like it was going to be pitch sweep to the near side. He reverse pivots out and takes it by himself. They got the big quarterback in here now, and maybe a quarterback sneak. Preble tried a quarterback sneak the last time they were down there, and he didn't get in. Everything's tight right now, though, and they do go quarterback sneak, and Hurcock shoves him into the end zone for an Amherst touchdown. I was kind of waiting to see if there was going to be a penalty flag, because that was blatant. We saw it last week. Everybody was lined up within a half yard of the line of scrimmage, and that was the intention the whole time. But nonetheless, it's a one-yard touchdown run for Cale Preble. Now a two-point conversion away from a 20-20 tie as I look at that scoreboard. And it's 20-18, the exact final score of that 2001 playoff game. Yeah, it's not illegal to push in the back if you're an Amherst Bronco. They've been doing it for a really long time. So I think it's legal if it's a Ron Evans coach team. But you're exactly right. And don't think for a second that Ron Evans at some point here won't think about that score.
The two-point conversion for a tie. Send the man in motion. Tauheim, the quarterback, rolls right, wants to throw into the end zone. It is incomplete. Threw it right at the pylon as we had to look around the standards here into the hands of Dibbern, but he couldn't hold it. And the difference in this game right now is a two-point conversion. 9:10 to go. It's 20-18. Lawrence Nelson will be right back.
Athletes come in all shapes and sizes, and Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine specializes in getting them all back in their game. From swinging a hammer to swinging a golf club, whether tackling daily tasks or tackling the running back, see Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine Clinic. If you're suffering from any injury that's putting you on the sidelines, make an appointment today and take comfort in our care. Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine.
Maybe it's the fresh cut onions in Long John Silver's new onion rings. Or maybe it's just hard to say goodbye.
Try Long John Silver's new signature battered onion rings. Served hot and fresh for a taste you're gonna love. Get a basket for just $4.99. It's a deal that'll make you say,
"That's what I like."
With our producer-engineer Stacy Johns and Larry Baker, Doug Buda back with you here at Amherst, and the Broncos will boot it away. Lawrence Nelson, both the returners converge at the 5 and right up the middle of the field, big hole 10, 15, 20, 25, and out to the 30-yard line. And that's where a lot of the returns have been taken here lately in this football game. And carrying the football that time is Kibanoff. Good field position for Lawrence Nelson, but again, Larry, a couple of big plays, and that's why Lawrence Nelson's ahead, a 70 and a 39-yard touchdown run. Yeah, Lawrence Nelson just stepped outside themselves there for about a five-minute spectrum, and they've gotten the points on the board. But the Raiders need this just as much as the Broncos, even though both are 5-2. First and 10 at their own 30, Raiders up by 2. Counterplay, big hole left side, 40, 30, 20, it's still Mankey, and he's finally brought down from behind by Hurcock at the 15-yard line, a 35-yard run, and Hurcock a little slow to get up, and it's first and 10.
Wait, Doug, there wasn't a Bronco anywhere near that gap. They ran that same power play into the B gap there, and there was nobody home. Amherst has got to get a good run fit outside of the A gap. In the A gap, they've had great run fits, but outside of that, they haven't.
Man, it was like they had seven guys right on the line of scrimmage, and it didn't take much to get past all of them. So first and 10 at the 15, Lawrence Nelson off the left side, and there's nothing doing there. That's more of what we saw in the first half. Delayed handoffs, and Amherst just kind of anticipating. Thayer carrying the ball, got back to the line of scrimmage, and that'll be it for Wyatt. Don't forget, at the end of the football game, the Visco Sports postgame show, we'll run down the stats that we have for you. We'll recap the scoring in the football game. We'll also give you some scores from around the area, then send it back to the studios for the Platte River Preps scoreboard show. All of C and D and a couple A and B from the night. Second and 10, Lawrence Nelson at the Amherst 15, trying to answer right back. Mankey off the right side, the hole shut down after a three-yard gain. He'll be between the 12 and the 13. It's Hurcock again. Also in there is going to be number 36 for Amherst, and that's Cale Preble, gain of 3.
Yeah, Doug, and showing some toughness here. Chris Rasmussen back in the game after having come out. His cat got bigger,
Looks like they taped his, now it's just a club, but he's back in the game. Again, you're in that spot where you've got two downs to convert this third, and they officially call it eight at the Amherst 13. Looks like they're blitzing again. Shore, keep it on the option. He can't go. He'll keep it himself. Wanted to pitch it, but right there they bring him down at the 10, so it's fourth and five.
One thing here, Doug, is they're starting. They started this a little bit on with their last possession, Lawrence Nelson. They've taken the air out of the ball here. The quarterback is standing up watching the back judge. They won't snap it until he starts counting. And it could be a little dangerous still with 7 minutes left in the game. Of course, they'll look brilliant if they score here. Here they're going to take a timeout. But I think taking the air out of the ball here may be just a little bit iffy, a two-point game.
Well, the last tackle made by Tyler Martinson in there, plugging the hole, and a timeout will be called by Lawrence Nelson. With 7:03 to go here in the football game, it's Lawrence Nelson 20 and Amherst 18. Knocking on the door again, though, a huge play coming up. Fourth and five, Raiders at the Broncos 10 when we come back.
NewTek is known as the undisputed yield leader as a result of their excellent performance in university and first trials and in your field. While winning isn't everything at the high school level, it sure makes things a lot more interesting. To put NewTek's winning genetics to work for you, contact Terry or Jason Stark at 308-750-6060 or visit NewTek at yieldleader.com.
NewTek Seed, the undisputed Midwest yield leader.
Well, so far, this is the biggest play of the football game. Lawrence Nelson doesn't use the pass very often. Fourth down and five at the 10. Amherst has been selling out on the run here this drive. They stay in that tight eye formation. Dan Schwarr, the quarterback, making the eye back on fourth and five. Schwarr takes the snap, takes the handoff, wants to throw. Under some pressure, dumps it off out here in the flat. The ball is knocked away by Devin Dibbern. He breaks it up. And 10 out here for Ehlers, and Amherst will take over at their own 10, down 2 with 6:57 to go.
Yeah, this has been interesting, Doug. Both teams now have just dug themselves big holes on drives and then bowed their necks and not given up. We've seen it happen both times here. Lawrence Nelson breaks the big run and gets absolutely nothing out of it.
Well, I haven't totaled it up, but I don't think Amherst has 70 total yards in offense in the second half. They've got to travel 70 yards here. Dibbern in motion to the right side. Back to pass, Tomanheim. Ball fake. It's a draw. He's got some room. He gets up to the 15-yard line. It's not a huge play. Everything we've seen lately has been pretty big plays, but you know what? That's 5 yards. You'll take that at second down and five.
Yeah, on this drive, you'd like to be pretty methodical here and make this thing go 4 to 5 minutes and get 4 to 5 a play and stick this thing in the end zone and end it.
Well, it's pretty simple right now. You've got to figure whoever scores, there's probably only time for one more in this game, especially if Lawrence Nelson takes it out as the quarterback. Preble will keep it off the right side, follow his center, and be short of the first down. He needs to get to the 20. They're going to give him a pretty good spot between the 18 and the 19. It'll be third and short.
Yeah, obviously we're third and short back here at Amherst 20-yard line, but I will say, you know, we haven't seen Amherst's kicker come on the field tonight at all, Doug. We didn't see them warm up a kicker in pregame. It will be interesting to see if they get down in good plus territory. Can they kick a field goal to win by one?
I'm going to guess probably not, because they did not attempt one for PATs. Third and one, pitch play. Dibbern slips, gets his footing back, and gets just enough for the first down across the 20, spins to the 22, and a first down. Mickey's back there in on the tackle. As well, a gain of 4 on the play for Devin Dibbern.
Part of what you're seeing here, Doug, too, is a lot of these are mindset plays, you know, as far as are you a winner, are you a grinder. A lot of these guys on this Amherst team are. They've been a part of state championship teams in the winter, and when you have that mindset as a winner and a grinder, it can go a long ways.
Still so young on both sides as Hercock's in motion. Preble, the quarterback, he's got pressure right away and just tries to throw it away, but it's incomplete. Good thing that he had his ends. It looked like a screen pass, although I think Hercock was the intended receiver in that route coming out of the backfield. But again, they've been using Tomanheim more here in the second half than the freshman Tomanheim more than Preble, and now he's back in.
Yeah, they're a little bit lucky there, Doug, that their guard is wearing number 25, because that's who that pass was to. So it looked like there was a receiver there in the area where their wasn't. It was about 15 yards away from Hercock there. Oh, they're just going to move the spot about a football length. That's one thing about 8-man. It doesn't matter what number you wear. You get whatever you want in 8-man. We talked about that earlier, some of the numbers that DeLawrence Nelson wearing tonight. The guards wearing number 7 and things like that. Second down and 10 at their own 22. Divert in motion to the wide side, which is the left. Rolling that way, the lefty is Tomenheim. Throws it underneath Hercock on the screen. He's got some room, 25-30. Back up the middle, first down. It'll be brought down just short of the 35 at the 34. 12 yards. That play has worked pretty darn good all night long, Larry.
Yeah, they just, I mean, they're throwing the fullback screen where most of the guys here to key the I-back, and they're throwing the fullback screen. And Lawrence Nelson, they're playing with a free safety, and they're playing kind of a man role where they're running with those outside receivers, so the screen's going to be open. You're going to get open field there.
First and 10 at their own 34-yard line, I formation. Probably quarterback, he was going to try and follow his blockers and got nothing. Back to the line of scrimmage, and that play really hasn't worked much tonight.
That has yielded not much. They're trying to run a blast play there, and that's just not yielded anything tonight.
Part of it is, Doug, is because every time they bring Pribble in, that's one of the plays that he's run. It's been pretty easy to say, okay, stack up the B and the C there.
Drop over the football, trailing 20-18. Lawrence Nelson leading it by 2. Amherst, second and 10 at their own 34. Tomenheim talks to Hercock. Now he'll take the snap after motion to the left side. Trey, end around this time, and then they run into each other.
Mobile Bank All
there.
Is here, exclusively from Five Points Bank. It's the ultimate on-demand mobile banking service. You'll find three secure ways to access your banking information from your cell phone with internet access. Mobile Bank All from Five Points Bank gives you powerful features, securely delivered through the account menu. Mobile Bank All allows you to view account balances, pending activity, transfer money, pay bills, and view alerts. Enroll today. Mobile Bank All is a free service for internet banking customers. At the better bank, Five Points Bank.
The reverse there, and that's where you have to get. You have to be careful not to go backwards.
Now out of the shotgun, they fake the reverse again and sacked in the backfield. Pribble took the shotgun snap, and boy, did things change in a hurry there. Amherst had some things working, and then went to the bag of tricks, and it's going to be 4th and 13. You got to pump the ball if you're Amherst. You've got all your timeouts, even though there's 3:25 remaining. You've got to pump the football. Yeah, they tried to sneak Pribble on. He kind of snuck on the field and was crouched down and took the snap. They're going to go for it here, Doug. Well, I guess you still got to stop them wherever it's at, so 4th and 12. Covered in motion, Tomenheim, the quarterback, Hercock in the backfield. Tomenheim, 5-step drop, 7-stop, looks, throws it out in the flat. He's got an incomplete, 35-30, and it's going to be enough for an Amherst first down to Braden Eckhout. Big gutsy play that works for the Broncos.
Yeah, really nice call there by Coach Evans. They're going to waggle the quarterback to the near side and catch the crosser coming from the far side, Doug, running across the field. Absolutely great throw and great catch.
As I said, at this point in the game, you can't punt the football. You got to go for it there, and that's exactly what Amherst did. A 17-yard gain, 3 minutes to go in the game. Lawrence Nelson, 20, Amherst, 18. Amherst still at the 31-yard line. Constantly sending the man out of the backfield. Different this time, Preble to throw, quarterback draw. Hercock drops a block for him, makes one man miss, gets to the 25. It'll be brought down about the 23-yard line. Nice job by Preble to get 7. Maybe they'll even give him 8 yards on this one, 2nd and 2. If you're Amherst here, you want to stay disciplined in your play calling. You want to keep calling plays like that. You just need to chip away and go forward. Don't try to win the game with one play here. Chip away, go forward, and don't give the ball back to Lawrence Nelson.
Clock continues to run. Amherst has 3 timeouts. Lawrence Nelson, 2. Tomenheim sets him down and sends Dibbert in motion again. Hard count. It's a draw play to Hercock. He's got the first down and more. 15, 10, and he's just brought down by a short tail tackle, and now a penalty flag at the end of the play, and Hercock is slow to get up. Maybe a face mask or a horse collar to bring him down, and that will set up 1st and goal. Hercock will shake it off and say, that's fine, get us closer. And it's going to be a personal foul, blow to the head on Lawrence Nelson.
and I'm trying to see it's on the near side where they actually marked him down at about the 10, the 11-yard line, so it's going to be a 12-yard gain for Hurtock, who has not carried the ball a whole lot here in the second half. In fact, that's just his second carry. And then you have got the personal foul penalty that should take it near the 6-yard line. We had all those penalties in the first or the third quarter, and that's the first one here, the fourth. 2:15 to go in the game. It's Lawrence Nelson 20, Amherst 18, and Amherst will have a first and goal at the 6-yard line. Move the ball right in the middle of the football field. Yeah, Doug, and right here you got 2:15 left in the game. Lawrence Nelson may pay for trying to take the air out of this thing the last three times they had the ball. Can you get a goal line instead, or you let them score and go for it yourself? Off the right side, Hibbert, bouncing, penalty flag in the middle of all this. It's going to be on Amherst for a hold. And now it really makes it tough. Move it from the 6 to the 16, and you're going to have a hard run or find another way for Tavenheim to get that ball in the air level, depending on who they run at quarterback, but a 10-yard holding penalty. Yeah, what you've got to do here, Doug, is look at this in the perspective of time's not your enemy, 2:05 left. You've got timeouts. You've still got the ball inside the 15-yard line. You need to go slow. You need to try to slow your mind down, slow your players' minds down, and know that this is about you getting it in the end zone. You don't have to be in a hurry. Final score, Donovan Trumbull 40 and Ravenna 14. We'll get a couple of more here to you at our next break. First and goal down at the 16. Dibbert in motion to the left side, the wide side. Tavenheim takes the snap back to pass, looking for that crossing pattern. Steps out of attack on the backfield, now tries to run, and there's just nowhere to go. Trey just couldn't make up his mind to run the football there, Larry. The freshman was waiting to throw the football and just didn't take off in time because there was a little room to run. He gets a couple.
Yeah, what you need to do there, Doug, is you coach him to be decisive. Make a decision and commit to it right there, and he just wasn't able to do that.
Second and goal at the 14. He does a good job of making the blockers miss, though. Heck out to the left. I formation. Tavenheim, quick snap, back to pass. It's Preble, the quarterback, throws a jump ball in the end zone. It's intercepted. Did he stay in? Yes, he did. Lawrence Nelson intercepts the jump ball, and that's Schwarr that gets it done with 59 seconds to go in the football game. Now it's not over. Amherst has all three of their timeouts. They're going to have to sell out to stop the run, hope to get the ball back around midfield after a punt with about maybe even 30 seconds left.
Yeah, immediately on the interception, you saw Coach Blevins run to the side judge and ask him how many timeouts Amherst has so he can figure into his play calling here. But that was kind of what I was talking about there, Doug. It was second down. You don't need to get in a hurry. You just need to get it in the end zone, stay within your offense, and throwing it up into a crowd of people's stuff.
The Raiders had four guys back on that as well, so you'll pump fake underneath, but you never know. So here we go. One first down should do it for Lawrence Nelson at their own 15. Schwarr takes it, hands it off, swarmed under in the backfield, a loss of about three, intermediate timeout here by Amherst. They're going to try to keep it in Mickey's hands. That's probably the right thing to do. Give it to your main back and see what he can get done. Timeout Amherst, 20-18, Lawrence Nelson, 54 seconds to go. We'll be right back.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back into the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic located in the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic located in the EMT building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, with two locations in Kearney, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game.
Larry Baker, our producer engineer, Stacy Johns. Kearney Catholic has pulled away now for a 24-0 lead over Gothenburg in the fourth quarter. That was 6-0 at half. Donovan Trumbull, a winner over Ravenna, 40-14. St. Cecilia has taken a 20-14 lead over Thayer Central in the fourth. And Bertrand all over Eustace Farnham, 50-7 tonight. Scoreboard show is coming up after the Biscoe Sports postgame show. But right now, Lawrence Nelson coming up with a big interception in the end zone by Dan Schwarr. but a chance to win this football game, getting a first down. But if Amherst can get two more run stops, they'll make them punt. It is second and 12. Lawrence Nelson at their own 12-yard line. Everybody's coming. Schroer going to go bootleg to the right side. It's one-on-one. He steps out of the tackle, breaks back, has enough for the first down, and Lawrence Nelson's going to win the football game. And, Larry, if you want to win the football game, you man up and you make a call like that, and that's what Lawrence Nelson did, a gain of 12.
Yeah, I think Coach Blevins coached a great game tonight. He was completely outplayed in the first half, hung in there, kept it to a one-score game, made the adjustments that he needed to at the half, and came out and kind of punched Amherst in the mouth at the start of the third quarter, and Amherst just didn't respond, and they made the mistakes at the end of the game that is now going to cost them the game. But I thought Lawrence Nelson did a very good job tonight with making the adjustments they needed to make. And it's a big statement for a young team. This is an important game, playoff implications, all those kind of things, when you're literally not going to play a senior on the team, very, very young, and they can come into a game like this, play as poorly as they did in the first half, and then win the game on the road. Well, that's one of the things I talked about with Rod Evans. How do you view this game, the game you're going to play next week in the playoffs? Because you know this team is only going to grow and get better, same way with Lawrence Nelson. You want to take those steps quicker than some people want those steps to be very quick. But you know that next year there's going to be a good team, and if they stay healthy and develop the next couple of years, there's going to be a great team here at Amherst that we've come used to seeing over the past few decades.
Yeah, the Amherst football program, actually, athletically, they've got a tremendous group coming back and a good young group, so they've got a chance to be pretty good for a while.
Lawrence Nelson in the victory formation, and they'll take a knee. And let's see if Amherst decides to kill the clock one more time, then they will. But that's their final timeout with 40 seconds to go. Lawrence Nelson theoretically would have to snap the ball two more times. Don't forget, tomorrow night, more high school football here on Classic Hits will be at Gibbon as the Buffaloes take on the Bison, and we'll see which one's tougher, Central City and Gibbon. And that game is going to be, I think, Larry, even more physical and more runs than we saw tonight. And a lot of this game was on the ground, but we're going to see a lot of running tomorrow night with some good, good players.
Yeah, no question. Both of those teams tomorrow night are allergic to the pass. They break out if one of those gets called. And we're going to see Van Meter from Gibbon, who's just had a tremendous season, and he's going to run a bunch. You know, you've got an all-state offensive lineman for Central City, so it will be a good, tough, physical game.
Lawrence Nelson lines up in the victory formation once again. Gets the clean snap, goes back and kneels on at Amherst, trying to reach across, do what they can to knock that ball loose, but cannot get the job done. Our referee will blow the ball ready for play, and they'll have to snap it one more time. But Dan Schroer comes up with an interception in the end zone on kind of a jump ball with 59 seconds to go to preserve Lawrence Nelson's win. 12 points to start the game for Amherst, 20 in a row by Lawrence Nelson. Amherst cut it to two, but the two-point conversion, yeah, it's tough to say, but as they kneel it and time will run out. In this win, I wouldn't have guaranteed anything to kicks, but none of these players would have kicked the football tonight, no matter what happened. But it came down to one conversion made by Lawrence Nelson and none for Amherst. And ironically, the last two times these teams have played, Lawrence Nelson has won by the exact same score, 20-18, the last being 11 years ago in the state playoffs when they were both rated.
Yeah, that's tough. Each one of you scores three touchdowns, and the play that many don't ever think of. You know, we always say that's 7 points. Well, it's not at six. You got to snap it again from the three-yard line, and tonight Amherst wasn't as good from the three-yard line as Lawrence Nelson, and that did really boil down to that.
But we'll take a break here on the post-game show. We'll have the Misco's post-game show coming your way in just a moment. But it was quite a football game here tonight, and two big plays end up really deciding it here. A 39 and a 70-yard touchdown run by Lawrence Nelson in the third quarter turned this football game around, scoring on back-to-back plays after stopping Amherst in the middle of that, making them punt. And the final score is Lawrence Nelson 20, Amherst 18. The Raiders will finish the regular season 6-2, Amherst 5-3, and await their playoff fate tomorrow. Amherst, with that loss, most likely they're going to be a 14-15 seed in the playoffs. all the Western teams like Axtell and Elwood and Hayes Center, they're all going to be right there at the bottom at 15 and 16. And for Lawrence Nelson, could move them up to around a 9 seed in the Eastern bracket when the playoff pairings come out on Friday. We'll take a break and be back with the Remisco Sports Postgame Show after this.
It's fall, and we Nebraskans are serious about our football. We pay attention to the punts, the passes, the tackles, and the touchdowns. Same thing goes for hassle-free at the Midway Auto Group. Folks at Midway care about every aspect of your buying and ownership experience. You find their lowest prices right there in the window. And when you purchase, you can get a free year of routine maintenance and free car washes for life. Hassle-free. It's a big deal at the Midway Auto Group on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney or online at thinkmidway.com. Think hassle-free. Think Midway.
A year ago, 6-year-old Nebraska fan Jack Hoffman suffered a seizure. Diagnosed with brain cancer, Jack's story touched Cornhusker All-American Rex Burkhead and the hearts of the Husker Nation. As a result, we at Platte River Radio and other Husker-affiliated radio companies are supporting the sale of Team Jack T-shirts. $10 from each shirt purchase benefits the CureSearch Team Jack Legacy Fund to fight pediatric cancer. Shirts are on sale now, where Husker merchandise is sold at Allen Superstore of Hastings. See complete information at Team Jack on Facebook.
It's time now for the Misco Sports Postgame Show. Misco Sports, get your game on at Misco's, keeping our local schools geared up for every season. Misco's, you'll be better equipped for the games you play. Some final scores rolling in, Ord 21 and O'Neill nothing, and that'll help out the Chanticleers of beating a 6-1 O'Neill team. They'll finish, Ord will be at 5-3 into the playoffs. Some good games going on around the state. David City leading Madison 42-21. Boone Central, Newman Grove defeats Grand Island Central Catholic 41-0. Aquinas shuts out Malcolm tonight by a score of 47-0 in their contest. Plenty of other scores coming up. Crofton defeating West Holt 27-0. Congratulations to Gilt Bear. They won the Crossroads Conference Volleyball tonight. St. Cecilia looks like they're going to be able to defeat Thayer Central. They're up 28-14 with 4:45 left in their ball game. Lutheran High Northeast going to defeat Battle Creek tonight. Norfolk Catholic blanks winning 35-0 in their contest tonight as well. So those are some scores from around the area. We'll do our best to give you more. And, of course, the Platte River Prep scoreboard show is coming up as well. Lakeview leading Scotus 24-21 after three quarters. Humphrey over Scribner-Snyder 30-0 a final. And Bishop Newman leading Boystown 21-20 late in the fourth quarter of that contest. Here tonight, it was 20-18. Lawrence Nelson eats one out at Amherst. And we'll give you the numbers right after this on the Misco Sports Postgame Show.
Nicola looking. They finally get it into Kissinger. Kissinger drives the ball for the goal. Bounce pass down in the corner here to Williams. Back outside to Chanel Farmer. 4 seconds to Ernst. Another two. Nicola. Is that good?
Cremosa, another three. In and out, and in. Oh, my, for Mark Cremosa.
Like Platte River Preps on Facebook to read articles on over 100 local teams from 14 conferences. Get exclusive pictures from the games that were broadcast live on all of the Platte River radio stations.
You see it every weekend. Teams at every level emphasizing the look of their uniform. Look sharp, play sharp. It's what they're affirming. And Pro Team Design puts any sports apparel style, screen print, or embroidery at your fingertips. In person or online, the latest designs from the widest selection of brands. Look sharp, play sharp with Pro Team Design. 2716 Old Fair Road, Grand Island. Or shop and order online at ProTeamDesign.com.
And welcome back to the Misco Sports Postgame Show. Let's take a look at the unofficial numbers I had for Amherst tonight. I'm sure the win kept all of these exactly like they should be. Devin Dibbern, 13 carries, 22 yards, one touchdown. Colton Burke, one carry, no yards. Mason Klingelhofer, two carries for negative 3 yards. Stuart Hercock led the team in rushing, 11 carries, 53 yards, and a touchdown. Braden Eckhout, one carry, 1 yard. Quarterback Cale Preble, 11 carries, 31 yards, and a touchdown. Trey Tobenheim, 5 carries, 14 yards. 44 rushing attempts, 128 yards tonight for Amherst. They had a little bit more through the air for Preble. He was 4-5 in the first half, but they didn't use him as much in the second half. I only had him 0-2, including the interception on their last offensive play, so that put him 4-7 with one pick, no touchdown, 62 yards in the air. For Trey Tobenheim, after going 0-3 in the first half, he was 5-8 in the second half, for 89 yards, no interceptions, and no touchdowns. So as a team, unofficially, 9 out of 18 through the air tonight, no interceptions or no touchdowns, one interception, 151 yards through the air, 128 on the ground. That's 279 yards of total offense for Amherst, 14 first downs. They punted the ball 4 times tonight, 37, 31, 38, and 52 yards, going to give them an average of just over 40 yards. The only turnover was their last offensive play, kind of the jump ball they threw in the end zone with a minute to go. 9 penalties on Amherst for a total of 60 yards. We'll look at Lawrence Nelson's numbers right after this on the Mythico Sports Postgame Show.
Tucker's Lounge and Restaurant supports the Lawrence Nelson students and athletes. Work hard in the classroom and on the athletic fields. Tucker's Lounge and Restaurant serves a full food menu Wednesday through Saturday, including steak, fish, chicken, pork, and salad bar. Lunch is served, too. Tucker's Lounge and Restaurant is open Tuesday through Saturday from 11 a.m. until 1. Before or after the game, stop in and see Linda and Floyd at Tucker's Lounge and Restaurant on Main Street in Nelson. Good luck, Raiders, from Tucker's Lounge and Restaurant.
Ravenna Sanitation provides the perfect solution for any solid containment requirement. From the old shingles off your roof to a remodeled job, Ravenna Sanitation delivers a roll-off box to your house or side of the project. You fill it up and they pick it up. No more making several trips back and forth to the dump. Rely on Ravenna Sanitation to take care of it for you. Ravenna Sanitation is the quality, dependable trash hauling service you've been looking for. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County.
And welcome back to the Mythico Sports Postgame Show. Don't forget the Platte River Prep Scoreboard Show coming up. Probably not quite as long of an edition the next two nights because of half the football out there, but we will get you all the scores, wrap-ups from all the games that we did tonight, including the game here with Amherst, Lawrence Nelson, also recaps of Kearney Catholic, Gothenburg, St. Cecilia, Thayer, Central, and Ravenna, Donovan Trumbull. Let's take a look at the numbers I had for Lawrence Nelson. Didn't have them running near as many plays in the football game tonight, but Dylan Mankey, a couple of big runs, ends up with 20 carries, 121 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Chase Ehlers, 2 carries for 3 yards. Wyatt Thayer, 8 carries for 23 yards. Dan Shore, 7 carries, 54 yards, and a touchdown for Shore. 37 rushing attempts, 201 yards for Lawrence Nelson. But, Larry, you look at that, a 70, a 39-yarder in there. That's 109 yards on just 2 carries tonight.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of interesting. From Lawrence Nelson's perspective, what they did tonight, Doug, is they were able to hang around, limit Amherst from big playing them, and then when the opportunity arose, they were able to big play Amherst, put them in a hole, and put those points on the board. They didn't methodically move the ball at all tonight, really on any drive. But they did find those big plays in timely spots. And to be quite honest, they got the big stops tonight when they needed them, one of which is when they Amherst got all the way down inside about Lawrence Nelson's 10, and they turned them away. And then, of course, at the end of the game, with the penalty and the interception to keep the game exactly where Coach Blevins wanted it, and that's in the win column.
Well, then also after Mankey had that 70-yard run, he ended up with another 35-yard run that took it from their own 30 down to the 15-yard line. Now, they didn't score, and that's where Amherst started their last drive and moved it from their 10 all the way down to the 6. Then there was a holding penalty, and then they made the decision to throw the jump ball, and that didn't work out to end the ball game. So 211 yards officially rushing for Lawrence Nelson. They only completed 2 passes tonight, Dan Shore. One was a halfback pass by Chase Taylor, so they were 2 of 6 as a team. No interceptions, no touchdowns, 56 yards through the air, 211 on the ground. That ends up being 267 yards of a total offense tonight. They turned it over twice in the ball game. The punts 4 times for an average of about 28 yards, 4 penalties for 19. But another big point in this ball game, Larry, they turned it over on back-to-back possessions inside their 20. Once was at their 1. It took Amherst 3 plays to score. The other Amherst took over at the Lawrence Nelson 18 and did not score.
Yeah, and I think that's the story right there. We talked about it throughout the game, Doug, but Lawrence Nelson several times in this game put themselves in a spot to get the death nail in their coffin and get sent home a loser, and they didn't bend or break in those situations. They were able to withstand that, and that really in the end was the difference, was they found themselves in big trouble several times tonight, and most generally when they got into that spot, they were able to escape unscathed.
We'll take a final break, come back, and give you some updates on the Major League Baseball playoffs, the NFL, NCAA, and then send it into the Friday Night Scoreboard Show. So keep it here on Classic Hits, the Louisco Sports Postgame Show.
NewTek is known as the undisputed yield leader as a result of their excellent performance in university and first trials and in your fields. While winning isn't everything at the high school level, it sure makes things a lot more interesting. To put NewTek's winning genetics to work for you, contact Terry or Jason Stark at 308-750-6060 or visit NewTek at yieldleader.com.
NewTek Seed, the undisputed Midwest yield leader.
Effort isn't always the difference. Maybe it's a matter of inches, a split second, feeling the comfort and confidence in your sports equipment. Coming soon, TN Sporting Goods. New to downtown Kearney. Home of Brooks, Mizuno, Asics, Russell Athletic, Wilson Sporting Goods, and Diamond Sports. Along with Under Armour. And featuring experienced pros like Steve Barinol and Tino Martinez. TN Sporting Goods. Coming soon on the bricks at 2217 Central. TN Sporting Goods. The division of Pro Team Design.
Back to the Visco Sports Postgame Show. And Selma Myrna has blanked Elwood tonight, 46-0. Pierce Linder 53-16. Rankin Central beats Logan View 27-0. Boys Town comes back for a 26-21 win over Wahoo Newman. Now, all the folks out there, Cambridge beats Dundee County Stratton tonight at a score of 62-14. And a whole lot more come up here on the Platte River Preps Friday Night Scoreboard Show Thursday edition. Let's also tell you what's going on in the NFL, where it is a defensive struggle, 4.5 to go in the third quarter, and San Francisco has just taken the lead, just scored a touchdown, as we said that, 9-6. They lead Seattle, and we will get you the information on how that happened here in just a moment. Also, 6-1 St. Louis in the bottom of the sixth over San Francisco. Cardinals are already up 2-1. That would put them up 3-1. You'll be able to hear game 5 of that series tomorrow night on ESPN 1460. Also earlier today, Detroit a winner over the Yankees by a score of 8-1, and that advances them into the World Series. So that's what's going on between those teams. We've also got some college action for you. And I'm trying to pick up a little bit more on what happened in the San Francisco game. It is a Delaney Walker 12-yard reception from Alex Smith. That's the only touchdown so far in that football game. But San Francisco, with the extra point coming up, will lead Seattle by a score of 10-6. College football tonight, number 2 Oregon is in action as they are taking on Arizona State. And Oregon is all over Arizona State. 11.5 to go in the second quarter, 43-7. Oregon pounding 5-1 Arizona State. We'll take a final break and wrap it up after this.
Banks can be very similar in the services they offer, but it's the local decisions, local ownership, and friendly professional staff that makes the difference. That's what you can expect from the State Bank of Riverdale. We're proud of the relationships we've developed over the past 100 years and look forward to expanding this service to Kearney. Follow us on the web at riverdalebank.com. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
State Bank of Riverdale, banking hand in hand.
America's farmers feed the world. That's why your CHS Service Center provides producers like these with market access and insights for their success.
Well, they stay on top of the market. They really look out for us.
They watch world activity so we can make informed decisions.
We get daily emails and text alerts from our co-op. They're able to take our grain when we need to move it.
Get connected to a CHS Service Center near you. Resources for enriching lives, CHS.
A game that went back and forth here tonight at Amherst, and it finally ends with Lawrence Nelson's Dan Schwarr intercepting a 16-yard touchdown pass with a minute to go to preserve the Raiders' 20-18 win over Amherst. Big night for Dylan Mankey. Had a couple of big runs to get him to 131 yards, but he scored 2 touchdowns tonight to lead Lawrence Nelson as they were able to hit the big play. And even though the yardage was extremely close, I had Amherst with 12 more yards than Lawrence Nelson. Just a couple too many penalties in the second half as Amherst comes up short to go 5-3 and Lawrence Nelson 6-2 as the playoffs begin 1 week from today for Classes C and D. Tomorrow night, Classes A and B, we will have Central City at Gibbon on Classic Hits. We know the cross-country kids are starting to roll into town as well. This begins with the Class D girls tomorrow at 12 noon at the Tarney Country Club. Races go every 30 minutes until the Class A boys finish it up at 3:30. We'll have dates all day long on Classic Hits and ESPN Radio. All the scores from around the area and the state, plus recaps of our games, are coming up next on the Platte River Prep Scoreboard Show. Larry Baker and Doug Ditta for our producer-engineer, who is Stacy Johns. You've been listening to the Misco Sports Postgame Show. Misco Sports taking care of all the schools in the area and the state with the best sporting equipment on the market. And, of course, with wrestling and basketball right around the corner, they'll take care of you when it comes to winter sports as well. Again, the final score, Lawrence Nelson 20, Amherst 18 from Amherst. Again, a big thank you to the sponsors and to the folks here at Amherst. This is Doug Gooda saying goodnight, everyone.
This has been a Classic Hits Radio KKPR Sports presentation. Brought to you by the KKPR Sports Club. To download an archive of this game and more, go online, kkpr.com, and hit the podcast section. KKPR Sports is a presentation of Platte River Radio.